this record. The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. We're broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com, and also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Welcome to the show. I always start the shows off a little plug for the stations, guys. We don't get money from anywhere but our supporters and our listeners. So if you like what the stations are doing, like I've said many times, even a cup of coffee a month would be much appreciated. That doesn't sound like a lot, but you know what? If we had 100 people sending a coffee every month, it would really, really help the efforts and some of the bills they incur and money they spend bringing us this content. So try and reach in your pocket a little bit. And I always like to start my shows thanking my producer, because I always forget at the end of the show to thank Steve for putting up with me every week and doing what he does for me. I'd be lost without the gentleman. I originally had Dr. Allen coming in, and I've had Dr. Allen on my show probably at least 7 or 8 times here in the last 4 or 5 years. And he's never let me down for showing up, for something's obviously come up for the doctor because I can't get in touch with him. So on short notice, I reached out to a very, very good friend of mine by the name of Ron Stevens. And Ron said, sure, Barry, let's have a chat for an hour. So welcome to the show, Ron, or welcome back to the show. And thanks for coming in on short notice. I know there's so much crap going on in our country right now that there isn't a shortage of things to talk about. What's your pet peeve right today, buddy? And like I said, welcome back, Ron.
Well, yeah, it's a very interesting time we live in. Oh, wait a minute. Can you hold it a second? We have door-to-door vaccine people coming around now, and there's one coming down the sidewalk to get the vaccination.
Well, roll up your sleeve. We can wait a minute, Ron. It's not a problem. Go do what you have to do, and me and Steve could hold the fort. But I'd like to tell you a couple things about those vaccines just before you roll up your sleeve there, Ron, that you just might want to know. Where do you want me to start? But your kids, it's okay for our kids now. They can have them, 12 years old, no problem. Let's give them that vaccine. Unbelievable. That's my pet peeve. Go ahead, Ron. What's yours?
I just got the vaccine. I feel a blood clot coming on.
Okay. 30 seconds here, guys.
It's like we're living in just a bad movie. I have all the faith in my people. And I know it's difficult to have faith in your people because most of them really don't have a clue and apparently don't want to have a clue. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you saw that video of that real young child
speaking in front of the people about the mask,
about his teachers and stuff. Yeah. And the school system and everything else, and the masks and whatnot. He just reminded me of when I was a child. What happens is what happens in the school system is that you have a child like this who can think and questions, and then he's always put down. And most of those kids who are really intelligent when they're really young and can think, over the course of kindergarten to grade 12, they submit to the nonsense. I don't think that kid's going to do it. But that's what they do to the people. So the adults out there wandering around today really don't have much of an IQ, which is unfortunate. You know, when I just can't believe when I saw that story that they want to change the name of British Columbia and the flag, that the entire province hasn't got up in arms. You know, like
I know. It just goes to show you the level of complacency and stupidity in our society, Ron. It's right off the charts. It's like we said before I got on the air today, buddy. If they came up with a vaccine that would fix stupidity, I would be all for that. I'd even send them a little bit of donation money to speed it along, because I have never seen so many. I don't know if it's stupidity or it's just go along to get along people in my life, but we were talking there earlier today about people outside riding their bicycles, wearing a mask, cutting their front lawn. Guy's pushing his lawnmower, nobody around him for blocks, and he's got a mask on. This virus, folks, does not travel through the air. That the only way, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, but the only way that this can be transmitted from me to you is if I'm symptomatic, I've got symptoms, I'm sick, I've got a cold, I've got a runny nose, some of that mucus or membrane comes on my hands and it comes into contact with your body. That is the only way. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, because I've looked into this extensively. But that is the only way that this thing can be transmitted. These masks that we're wearing in society, buddy, it really is the biggest. I would say a joke, but it's not a joke. It is sad to see so many people walking around with muzzles on.
I put a video up on my Facebook because Gates said that. In one of his TEDx things, and he was referring to the Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. Where everybody wore masks. Mm-hmm. And during the Spanish flu, the doctors in that wrote to the president and called the vaccinations blood murder. Which is exactly what it is, because we don't have COVID-19, okay? These people get the flu. Nobody's gotten the flu in the last 2 years. Where'd the flu go? Well, they just renamed the damn thing.
Of course.
And so older people who are sick with, you know, all kinds of different problems they have, and they're all full of pharmaceuticals, get the flu, their chances of getting lung problems and that is extremely high, because that's just normal. And this idea that you're going to vaccinate 12-year-olds and a 12-year-old can get through the flu like boom, have no problem with it. And the fact that the recovery rate is 99.7. How do the people out there wearing masks figure out that if the recovery rate is 99.7, how do they figure that they're caught in a pandemic?
How do they even rationalize that?
The IQ of our people has got so low, it's spooky.
It is, and it didn't happen overnight, Ron. You know, we've talked about this many, many, many times on shows in the past, about how society has gotten to where we are today. And like I said, this took generations to be really effective. But what we see now in society is basically a zombie apocalypse. People just cannot seem to put one and one together and get two. They just cannot seem to do that. It is so obvious somebody with any kind of a common sense approach to our world right now, all they really have to do, Ron, is go look at the numbers, and the numbers will tell you that this is the biggest scam by far ever played on the human race, ever.
It's big. War crimes. We've had lots
beyond
of scams
war crimes. What they're doing.
This one is not only a big scam, it's an extremely dangerous scam.
Well, it's bigger than 9/11, in my opinion, Ron, and that was major, okay? That was a turning point in our world. But this is even bigger, because this is something that is beyond what we can even deal with. Look at what this vaccine is capable. I won't call it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy. It's experimental. The government's come out and said that this is an experimental vaccine, but we're using it under perceived health emergency. But the health emergency does not exist in this country. The numbers are no different than they have been for the last 10 years. If you study the charts, and I've looked at them all, everything that I can get my hands on tells me the exact same thing, that the only difference between this and 2018 is how the media has rounded up everybody's derrieres, Ron, and that's the only difference. The power of the media. When you control the media, you control the narrative of the public, and boy, this is just one of the greatest examples of that in history. It's a tragedy. It really is. But now they're coming after our kids, Ron, and that is something that I hope that Canadians really, really get pissed off about this. That the fact that they want to stick an experimental vaccine in the arms of a 12-year-old child whose body is developing. I mean, we don't even know what this is going to do to people, but we're starting to see it adults right now. What effect is this going to have on a child whose immune system hasn't fully developed, Ron? It's insanity. It is absolute beyond insanity. We've woken up in a wackadoodle world. Go ahead. I didn't mean to rant, but I'm so pissed off about this, Ron. I really am. This has been going on for 15 months now. And Canadians have got to stand up to this because we're going to lose it all if we don't stop this. But we're not doing it. The good's going to come, Ron. I'm going to be positive about it. But some days, honestly, buddy, I look at Canadian citizens and I go, do we have a chance? Do we have a chance? Some days I really wonder, but go ahead. I'll have to stay positive.
The problem with these so-called vaccines is that, you know, I had the charts from the polio vaccine way back when. And they showed the charts, and I think it was Poland that wasn't vaccinated. And because when a bug comes in, it comes in strong and it continually gets weaker. And they were vaccinating everybody for polio. And when I looked at the charts compared to the Poland chart, which nobody was vaccinated, mm-hmm. they're identical. Mm-hmm. Okay? It comes in and it goes out. Right?
Well, that's how society deals
like
with viruses.
Season. It comes in. Of course. Certain people get sick. Certain people don't get sick. You don't need a vaccine for it.
No, and the odd person will die because that's what happens in society. The weaker of our society always are the ones that do pass away. 70 and 80-year-olds are the ones that are being affected by this thing. Of course, it's normal. Go ahead.
What they've done is they've convinced people that you have to accept whatever science tells you to accept. And science is being used as a great deceiver. People don't need to be eating all these pharmaceuticals. I mean, science told me in school when I was a child that oil comes from rotting dinosaurs.
Well, it does.
Do I trust science? No.
What? You mean it doesn't come from dinosaurs?
Science in the 80s told you not to eat butter any longer.
What about acid rain? What about the melting of the icebergs, man, and the ice shields? All we were supposed to be under 10 feet of water by now, Ron.
Well, that video in 1958, Goddess Unchained, I think the movie was called.
Yeah.
Which was 8 years after Warburg said that we're going to have a world government, but we need a mechanism, i.e. a problem crisis.
Right.
And they picked environment. In 1958, all the ice was going to melt. And Miami would be under 100, the towers of Miami would be under 100 feet of water. still waiting. And you know, we're actually moving into a cooling cycle now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ron, I just looked at two studies on actual rise in sea levels in the last 10 years. And guess what? Yeah. There is no change, folks. None. It's only what they want you to believe via the media. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, it's just a science. I mean, way back at the Enlightenment nonsense, Luther outed the whole nonsense in the 1500s. Then we had in the 1700s, we had the French Revolution, which brought us a two-party system, the divide and conquer, the right and the left. because a divided country can't stand because the people aren't together. They're fighting against each other. And then in the 1700s, the Masons, the Pope and the lawyers,
the
and all these Jesuits and all these people came up with the Enlightenment and said, we have to kill God to get to ecology. Well, who wants to run the world? Satan. These are all Satanist Luciferians. This is what Luther outed in the 1500s. That's why our forefathers came here to build us a new house out from under that boot.
And here they are.
We allowed the boot to get back on us again.
Oh, boy, is this
but
here.
What they said in the Enlightenment was that because you couldn't challenge or question a priest could say whatever he wanted to say, and you just had to accept it. And they said during the Enlightenment that they were going to replace the priests with the scientists. Mm-hmm. So just like the priest, you can't question or challenge the scientists. So the science can tell you whatever the hell they want, and you just supposedly accept it.
Well, the same thing
and
with
they
climate
tell
change.
You all the ice is going to melt, and all the water is going to rise, and everybody's going to die from climate change. Well, we've been waiting a long, long time for that, and it hadn't happened.
Yeah, well, you know, the only thing that really affects our climate is the thing up in the sky. And so people can wrap their minds around that, that this is just a charade. The climate change agenda is just another huge mechanism of control. I mean, look what Justin Farthead, look what Farthead, excuse my language, is doing here in Canada, man, with the carbon tax. You know, he's upping it, upping it, upping it. Our gas prices are starting to go through our roof. Everything is going up.
The plan
is. Because it's all relevant. Well, the plan is to destroy it. Destroy the middle class.
The plan is to bankrupt the country. You know, the World Economic Forum said it. Nobody's going to own anything. You know, people think they own their house. You don't own your house. If you look at the registration, you're a tenant. Okay? The taxes you pay are just the land rental price. You don't own the house. You don't own your car. You don't own your child because it's all been registered to the state. And the state can make any stupid rule and regulation they want. And what was registered is bound by whatever rules and regulations they make, which is total fraud, 100% fraud, because they didn't disclose to the people what was going on. Mm. And you're not supposed to be able to gain from fraud. And that's why I want to get this lawyer from Detroit who's living up here now. I'm going to go and have a chat with him and see about suing my municipality. And see if we can't push them into the corner, and hopefully other people will start suing their municipalities.
Say Barry,
and wake up the people in our communities.
Barry,
because the whole thing's a 100% complete total fraud.
Yes, Steve,
and we have to stop it. But I just want to make this one statement. When at the beginning of the show, you were saying that. Like I do my show on Revolution Radio, which is listener supported, the same as yours. And I think maybe you know, the World Economic Forum has $7 trillion that they're using to undermine us. You might want to call them and see if they can, you know, pick over 100,000 or something.
I'm sure they would just line up to support us, Ron. What up? Well, you're absolutely correct, and it is coming into our society so fast, and that's what really kind of annoys me, is that Canada does not seem to have men with any kind of intestinal fortitude, Ron. They just the conversations I hear amongst the local boys is who won the hockey game last night. They're more concerned, and it's all rah, 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 go, 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 my team, than they are about what's going on in this country. It's really, really sad. I try and, people have to realize that this is a battle right now, that if we lose it, Ron, we're not going to lose it. I'm going to stay positive. But unless we can really get Canadians to understand, and of course we're up against CBC, CTV, Global, any newspaper publications in Canada are all controlled by the government.
So we have a chore
on our hands. Well, I know that. We talked about earlier today there, Ron, about how we should start, or how the most effective way to reach people. And it's getting back to the old days where we had them a piece of paper and say, hey, can you please look at this piece, a little bit of information when you get a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Because the media is killing us.
Every single media company knows full well what the agenda is. but they're not telling the people what the agenda is.
Well, it's because they're owned by the people that are running the agenda.
Well, then they're lying to the people. And the media is supposed to, I mean, they lied to the people during the wars and everything too. But this is a psychological war, this one. And the media just keeps pounding on the people. And the people have been watching TV and listening to the radio and reading the newspapers for so friggin' long that they just believe whatever the media is telling them when the media is out and out lying to the people. So, you know, the government's lying to the people. The media's lying to the people. The medical system is lying to the people. So none of these agencies give a damn about our people. None of them. And we have to change that attitude.
Well, we've got a big problem in our governments.
But like I keep saying, that the students that I talk to, it just blows me away. When I talk to somebody my age, I was walking up the street a couple of weeks ago, and a guy I hung out with when I was a teenager caught up with me, and we're walking up the street talking, and he's asking me if I've had my vaccine yet. And I'm thinking, how retarded can you be, right? I mean, you're 66 years old, and you have no clue whatsoever about what's going on.
Sad. You know?
And it's really sad, because the students understand the frauds, but the people my age don't seem to understand it.
So they're just accepting blindly all these crazy changes in our society without questioning it. That is sad.
I feel so bad for the children, because the children are probably talking to their parents, trying to explain to their parents what's going on, and the parents go, oh, that's just that conspiracy crap. Right?
Yeah.
And, but it was like, you know, we talked about this earlier, about the number of young children who are committing suicide is off the freaking charts.
Mm-hmm. And, three times. It's gone up actually three times, the amount in 2020 as opposed to 2018 and 2017, those numbers. In 2020, it went up three times the amount of children under the age of 18 years of age took their lives in Canada. Great, isn't
that? That's
more.
Sad.
That's more. Well, that's a whole pile more people or children or kids of that age that have died from COVID. I mean, it's just there isn't the numbers for young people are basically non-existent. And if we do find somebody that they have labeled as COVID death, the child has comorbidity factors in their lives that have actually caused the death. Everybody that seems to be dying from this has comorbidity factors. That it isn't the COVID, that all it is a flu. When is society going to wake up to this charade? Because it's just absolutely turning our society upside down. This government is putting us into a bigger financial hole than we will ever be able to dig ourselves out of, Ron, even at this point.
Well,
They have people sitting at home collecting their checks from the government. And they're all happy about it. They're going, yahoo, yahoo. We get to sit in our basements and play games all day, buy a couple bags of weed, and the government's paying us to do that. I mean, it's just absolute sanity. They don't get it, Ron. They just don't get it. Go ahead.
Well, the pride of our people has been taken away from the people. You know, the whole game was, I mean, I did tell people that when I was 17 years old, back in 71, that the whole plan here is to make the people so dependent upon the government, and
exactly.
The government is going to keep giving you benefits so that you become completely dependent on the government until they get you to the point where they can do whatever the hell they want with you, which is
exactly
where we are now.
They're getting there. We're not quite there, but we're really close, Ron. We're really close.
We have to change that mindset, but I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to win this. We have to, I mean, this thing about changing OBC to a different name and a different flag is the same thing as Alberta. And I don't trust most of these guys in Alberta that are trying to separate Alberta from the nation, because the whole point is to break up the nations and move to city states.
Of course.
And so the globalists can control the cities.
Of course. That's what they're doing in British Columbia right now, Ron. They're really restricting our access to back roads now. It seems like everywhere you go now, they're putting up gates. Well, what's that all about, folks? How come I can't go up that road now? How come? I see it everywhere, Ron. It's all being rolled out on people.
Well, we have to take control of our nation. And it's really not that difficult, okay? When they come at us and saying that, you know, we're going to give everybody a basic income, we're going to control every aspect of your life and all your resources, we're going to move you all into the cities where we got control over you, you won't have a car, you'll just use our transit systems. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, the banking system is a fraud. The legal system is a fraud, and all we have to do is start our own bank. Because everything they've done is a fraud, we don't owe them any money. Okay? You can't gain from fraud. That's the law.
Barry.
And so we don't owe all this money that's being spent all over the place now for the benefit of the globalists. And the detriment of us people, it doesn't exist.
Barry.
And all we got to do is say no to it and say no to what the government's up to and take back the nation.
I got some.
Put the tariffs back on like they used to be. Mm-hmm. And so that we design, manufacture, and grow everything we need here.
We have the ability to do that, Ron.
I have some iron.
When we used to manufacture everything we needed here, our country was fantastic. Strong.
It was, and they've taken it all away. I know Steve's been wanting to say something there. Steve, what do you wanted to add a comment?
Yes, it is 100% against American federal law. On the federal books, I'm sure it's probably same everywhere, but 100% illegal to willingly and knowingly participate in a fraud.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I don't know how that. Okay.
Fraud is 100% against the law. And everything that's being done and pushed upon us is fraud. You can't go there. But the people are so weak right now, they don't know how to stand up and say no.
That's the problem, Ron. How do we fix that? How do we get some men to grow some testicles?
And my ticket right now seems to be the students, because every student I talk to seems to understand that both this COVID thing and global warming is 100% fraud. And I'm hoping that we can get them to get on top of their parents and really explain to their parents that if they don't stand up, then they're guilty of causing harm to their children. And hopefully they can change the mindset of the parents, because the parents should care about their children. If the children can educate the parents.
Well, somebody's got to educate them, Ron, because I see kids. Narrative. Well, somebody's got to educate them quick. You know, I've seen kids walk around downtown 6, 7, 8 years old with masks over their face. And I want to get out of my car and just grab somebody by the throat. What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with them? I mean, putting a mask on a child is the worst thing you could possibly do to a developing child. Ron, I've looked at it and I've listened to top doctors talk about this. If you really, really, really want to hurt your child, stick a mask on them, restrict their oxygen intake, make them recycle their own carbon dioxide. Let's throw a little bit of bacteria in there, see the effects of hypoxia. You're causing permanent neurological damage to your child by putting a mask on them. And then you've got everybody in town that are doing these minimum wage jobs are being forced to wear these masks 8 hours a day. Unbelievable, Ron. What is wrong with people?
Well, the point is that they've made the people so dependent on the government. I mean, I just like what you said, when I drive down the street and I see 80-plus-year-old people who are walking with walkers and that with a mask on, all you're doing is killing yourself. You know, they're telling you you have to wear a mask, and you're not breathing oxygen now. You're breathing what you're exhaling, CO2.
14%.
That causes all kinds of lung problems and all kinds of problems for these old people. But they are convinced that what they're watching on TV is true. And that's really unfortunate. So everything from your local municipal government up to your federal government to your media to your school teachers, you know, it's a little bit different here in Ontario. In Ontario here, OMERS, which is the Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement System, is a partner of the World Economic Forum, which is hooked up with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
The Federation of Ontario Teachers Pension is a partner of the World Economic Forum. So, you know, the municipalities pushing the agendas, the teachers are pushing the agendas, and the Canadian pension plan is also a partner of the World Economic Forum. So no level of anything in our country represents the people. It's all representation of the globalists, which is causing what? Harm to our people. What is against the law to do? Cause harm. Okay? It is 100% against the law to cause anyone harm.
So what mechanism do we have now to hold the government accountable? I mean, they own the police. They own the courts. They got everybody in their back pocket. There's nobody in Parliament that actually stands for true Canadian values anymore. They're all the same snake with different heads. The Greens, the NDPs, the Conservatives, the Liberals, they're all on board with this globalist agenda. So what do we have in our mechanism right now? Because we've got to stop this now, Ron. What can we do right now to put a stop to this? I know
what we have to do right now, gaining our municipalities,
I agree. That is a real solution. But that's going to take a few years. And right now, I don't think we got a few years.
I don't think it'll take a few years, because as these older people get vaccinated and die, which they're going to do, the people are going to start to scratch their head and go, wait a minute, they got vaccinated, but they died. What the hell's going on? The questions are starting to come out, but the main thing is we all live in a community, and the main thing is we have to educate those in our community in order to change the narrative so that they understand what the hell's going on. Once they understand the threat to their children and their grandchildren, I do believe that they are going to wake up a little bit. Now, we all have the right to sue. We all have the right to arrest. You know, once our people are, you know, once we get 30 or 40 or 50% of our people that understand what the hell the council's up to, we have the right to walk in and arrest them. Okay? We don't have to go in with guns or anything. We have the right to arrest them. Because what are they doing? They're causing harm. It's against the law to cause harm. But the main thing is to we got to get out in our neighborhoods and educate the people. Once that education is done, okay, all it is reverse psychology, because this whole thing is a psychological war. Once the people understand they're being lied to and that their children are at great risk, and once they understand that global warming is a fraud, that this COVID thing is a fraud, you know, the pressure that's being put on people through the high gas prices, through all of the food prices are going up. They're going to put the interest rates on the mortgage up. It's crushing our people. And the more pressure that goes against their people, the more they're going to scratch their head and ask the question, what the hell's going on here? And our job is to change that narrative to the reality of what's going on. We have the power. We are the power. You know, we built everything in our nation. The Politico didn't build nothing. Okay, everything that's in our nation, we built, making it our nation, not their nation. We, the people, are the nation, not the stupid Politico.
They turned that around on us, Ron, so bad now that people can't even grasp that concept.
Well,
they can't grasp it.
I understand.
They believe we work for the government, that they are God.
So that people can understand it. But I think the real trigger is a threat to the children and the grandchildren.
I agree.
I think once people understand the threat, when they're looking at their little 2-year-old or 7-year-old or whatever, and understand that their children have zero future, none. They're going to be thrown into the cities. It's going to look like Soil and Green. Everybody's stuffed in the cities. People are living like dogs. And that's what they want. And why would we allow them to do that?
Well, Ron, if we could take over the mainstream media for 24 hours and we could actually get this information out to Canadians in hardcore point-to-point fact for 24 hours, you would see a major change in society.
Well, I said
but you're
that.
Right. You're right.
I said that.
But you're right about the children. You know, that
I
to me.
I said that to Alex Jones about 14 years ago when I outed him on his show. I told him that, you know, all this protesting and nonsense that's going on. If you're the man that cares about your country, it would only take about 50,000 people out of 250 million people to walk into the legislatures, okay, shut them down. The most important part is to get the mainstream media. You walk into the mainstream media, you throw out or arrest their hosts and put the real people down in front of it and explain to the people that America is now in the hands of the people. You know, we interrupt this programming to inform you that we now, the people, control the country. Back to your programming now. The people won't get up and fight it. Okay? They will just accept it. Because the people basically accept whatever's put in front of them. So we do have the power. We are the power. And we can change this. You know, I don't want to see violence. They want violence. They're hoping like hell for violence because that just separates the people more. And the people run to the government again.
Course.
So we don't want to go there. You know, the other option we have is what they did in Mexico in 2011, and it was an indigenous place, 20,000 people, and they were selling off the resources of the indigenous people to these outside companies, and the people didn't like that, so they went to talk to these people, and some of the indigenous top people just started disappearing. And I gotta say, I still believe this. I believe the ladies, the women, are stronger at this point in time than the men are. Down in Mexico, it was the women who put the deal together and then finally got the men to understand what they were up against. And once they did that, the men just walked into the council and didn't just throw them out of the building. They threw them out of town, and they weren't allowed to come back. And because the police are not from our communities, because they always bring them in from somewhere else, so they're not attached to the community, the indigenous people just threw out the police and created their own council, created their own police force. They don't let anybody in unless they check them out because they don't want the drugs there anymore. The violence has subsided to almost nothing. The criminal activity has subsided to almost nothing. The people are happy again.
What's the name of this town? I want to move there.
I'll say. I don't know what the name of the town is, but there's several other. This happened in 2011. There's several other indigenous communities in Mexico that have done the same thing after they saw what this one community did, and they 100% control their community. And that's all we need to control our communities, because our communities are being controlled by the globalists, global to local. I mean, we've all heard that saying.
Yep.
And global to local, they picked our local communities, and the CAOs are trained to implement these agendas into the council and make it sound good so the council votes for it. So they're implementing their agendas into our communities without the knowledge of the people, without the consent of the people. Most people don't pay any attention to their local council because they don't think they have any power to do anything. So the global to local is implement the global at the local, and that hands the local over to the global.
Yeah,
we can't allow that to happen.
Most people, if you ask them what's going on inside their city councils, they wouldn't have a clue. They pay no attention to it. They have no interest in it at all. And you're absolutely right. No. They play on that, Ron. They know that most people are just not paying attention. So let's just sneak this through.
And we have to, inform our people of what the council's actually up to. And they're causing each and every one of us harm, which makes the council a criminal entity, because it's against the law to cause harm. And they are taking our communities and handing them over to the globalists without the consent or knowledge of the people. Once the people understand that, I think they're going to get a little ticked off.
So who do we have to blame, Ron? I mean, people have to really kind of look in the mirror and ask themselves, really, in this situation we're in right now, who do they have to blame? Well, they haven't been paying attention. They've been ignorant to what's going on around them. They've allowed these things to happen in our society. And all of a sudden they get hit with a hammer with the realization that some of the things that they love to do in their life are being taken away. They want to get involved. I got a couple examples of that. People here in Terrace, man. That one guy, all of a sudden, because his hunting is being threatened, all of a sudden is just freaking out, jumping up and down, going, we got to do something about this. Well, wait a second. I've been telling you that for years, but all of a sudden, because something that you love is really being threatened, you want to get involved.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, you got the people.
Now he's jumping up
are
down,
really
go, Barry, we got to do something. I'm going, what? Wait a second, hold on. I don't have the answers. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, it's you know, this is why I say we're going to win. We the people populate our nation. You know, and they can say whatever they want to say. You know, you're going to lose your house now because of the debt. The answer to that is no, we're not. Okay, because the whole banking system is 100% fraud, and therefore we don't owe anything. It's just a simple fact of people being able to understand what's going on and then to be able to say no. You know, we're a very small population here, but we have the power compared to the globalists because we have the power to say no to them. It's no different when they, you know, they want you to do things. You know, when they came here and asked me to fill out the census form, and I told them, no, I wasn't going to fill it out. They said, well, if you don't fill it out, you could end up in jail. And I said, well, bring it on. And didn't hear anything more from them. And the last time the census people were here, I told the lady I wasn't going to fill it out. and had a little conversation, explained what the census was about. And then I said, go get your supervisor and send them in here. And the supervisor came in and we had a chat. And I says, you know, all the census is about is a collateral. Because when I fill this out, they're going to borrow money at the municipal level, and I'm on the hook to pay it back. And the supervisor said, well, that's true, but if you don't sign it, then the municipality won't be able to borrow as much money. And I said, but I'm not signing it. And she said, but they can't borrow as much then. Well, if they borrow it on me, then I got to pay it back on compound interest, which is crocking
up. Yeah, but they paint it up. They paint it in a nice little picture saying it's for community events and community services and stuff we got to build to make your city a better place, Ron. You hear the dialect and the verbal diarrhea coming out of these guys. The last three times they've sent me the consensus or the census forms, I rip them up. They send me a notice saying, you better do this. I rip that up. That's the last I hear from them. I will not.
Well, our resource base is well over $30 trillion. And the globalists want our resources.
All of it.
Yeah. And we have people living in tents all over the place, living in their cars and being thrown out of their tents and thrown out of their, you know, their SUV or their motor homes and that. Why would we allow anybody to do that to our people? The people that come here, the illegal migrants and immigrants, are fully housed and are looked after and get a nice check. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, our people
are on the street,
becoming poorer and poorer and poorer.
Well, we're paying for it. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We have somebody illegally walking into our country and the next day getting a welfare check. And if they happen to have six children with them, a couple of days later, they'll get a check for six children at $600 a piece. The government gives them relocation. It gives them a cell phone allowance, furniture allowances. These are people that are jumping ahead of the queue and coming into our country illegally. And this is what our government does for these people. Yet we have veterans on the streets right now sleeping because they can't afford to live in Canada.
Right.
And we're expected to pay for this, Ron. That's all good with people?
Well, this is all about driving up the debt so they can call the loans.
Well, of course. It's never designed to be paid back. You know that the debt that we're incurring right now will never, ever be paid back. It's designed to at one point, and I honestly believe that one point's coming very soon, where they'll collapse the dollar on us, because that will create chaos in society. We're going to need a system in place, Ron.
They come to save you with their basic income.
Of course, it's a new currency. Well, and
which
a new
they
currency.
Control.
Right.
Everything's digital. There's no cash.
Here's your chip. Put it in your arm.
Zero control over anything.
We're going to get to that point real soon. We're going to get there real soon. That's what's scaring me, is it wouldn't take any more than one major disaster right now in our society. And that could be, you know, and I know that they control the money. They could collapse that dollar. If they wanted to turn our world upside down here, Ron, in a couple of days, we'd hear an announcement tomorrow morning that our dollar now is devalued to about 5 cents on the dollar. No choice. The government also has in place right now legislation under a disease or a declared medical or a declared financial emergency in Canada right now, Ron, that they can seize our bank accounts. No questions asked. We're taking your money. You have no choice in the matter. We have a financial emergency, blah, blah, blah. Well, Trudeau put that legislation in place about 4 years ago. He put it in place because one day in the future he plans on using it. It's all going to play out, and Canada will be thrown. What's going to happen to society when all of a sudden nobody has any money? They'll be under the boot. They'll be forced to follow anything the government says. Well, they'll be forced. They won't have a choice, Ron. They won't, unless you're prepared for it. And a lot of people are. There's people out there, I've prepared quite a bit for it. I know lots of other people have prepared for it quite a bit. But the general guy going to work and is going to, you know, his job every day and counts on his bank account having money on it and blah, 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 he is just going to get hit for a whirlwind. And that chaos is really going to cause havoc in our society. It really will. Because people will go nuts.
We have to get out of the legal system. We have to kill the legal system because – what you were saying about the banks, I read this long time ago. When you put your money in the bank, it becomes the property of the bank.
Most people don't know that, Ron.
No, I know they don't
know
that.
People don't know that.
Which means the bank can take your money anytime they want. So create the crisis, just like you said, create the crisis, and we need the money. So we're taking it.
Yep. And what recourse are we going to have?
You know, we have to get out from under the legal system, which is nothing more than a slave system, and get back to law. If you don't do any harm to anybody, live your life the way you want. Okay? All these rules and regulations that that they create through the legal system are simply there to stick their hand in your pocket and take from you, which they have no right to do. So, you know, if you look at the Roman slave law and the Catholic Church sin fines, that is the legal system. They just rebranded it. Mm-hmm. It's no different than the top guy I was talking to from the Attorney General's office at the court. He agreed 100% when I took him back through some history when our forefathers got here and the chartered Hudson's Bay Company was here. Mm-hmm. And when the chartered Hudson's Bay Company was telling our forefathers what they could and couldn't do, our forefathers weren't that stupid. They just looked at them and said, we don't work for you, suck air. And that's when they went back to England and said, we understand you started this this parliament legislature thing. How's that working out? Great, they don't get it. Well, we need something like over here because they're not listening to us. Now, the lawyers set up their shop in 1791, and Canada didn't exist till 1867. Mm. So these lawyers and deceivers were already over here, and they set the whole thing up. And so the guy from the Attorney General's office, when the cop came in and said, come on, don't listen to Ron, and we got to, you know, don't listen to him, let's go outside. And the guy from the Attorney General's office said, you know what? Ron is 100% correct. Canada is nothing more than a freaking rebranded Hudson's Bay Company, which is true. Mm-hmm. But most people don't understand the history. They don't understand the history of Rome. They don't understand where the legal system came from. They don't understand where Canada came from. It's all been a fraud on us. And I feel bad for our forefathers because they came here to build us a new house out from under that boot of tyranny. And when Canada was formed, that boot was back on us. When America was formed, that boot went back on them. Mm. And they've been tearing us apart ever since. And we, the people who built everything in the nation belongs to us, the people, not the politico, not the globalists. It belongs to us. We're the ones that built everything, making it our nation, not their nation. And we just got to get some, you know, strengthen the spines and the minds of our people so they understand what's coming at them and understand the threat to their children. And I do believe that we can turn this around fairly quickly. You know, we've got a few years left to go. I do believe in those next 2 years or so, the minds of the people are going to change because they're going to see the cost of their living going up and up and up and up and up, and they're going to be struggling harder and harder and harder. And once people understand our resource base and that we, the people, need to get back to manufacturing what we need using our resources, the people will get stronger. I have no doubt in my mind about it.
Ron, you know what? Our hour has already gone. Do you believe that, buddy?
Well,
how come the hours always fly by when I'm having a conversation with you? But we're out of time here for this little talk today. But I'm going to let people share a last thought with folks, and I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, let me know
we'll have you back soon.
Team two up there.
Yeah, we're coming up with a name for British Columbia. That's right on the top of my list of things to do. But go ahead, Ron, share real quickly, last thought. No, like I said, I'll have to let you
know. Thanks for having me on. And I want to thank Stephen for doing all he does, putting the show together and everything, or running the show. And he knows, and you know, and I know, that it doesn't matter if he's in America or we're in Canada, we're all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's 250 million Americans and there's 38 million of us. And we have more than the power required to put the boot on the globalists and take the globalist boot off of us.
Amen. Thanks for coming in, Ron.
You guys take care. Have a great day. And, everybody keep listening to Barry.
I'll look forward to our next conversation, my friend.
Okay. You take care.
Okay, guys. I'll be back here in about 3-4 minutes. I'm going to take a bathroom break because, of course, I'm drinking coffee. And I'll be back with Wayne Peters in about 4 minutes. Hang on. He's got lots to talk about today. Back in a few. welcome back to second hour. Thanks to Ron again for stepping in on short notice. Don't know what happened to my doctor friend today, but I'm sure I'll hear from him. But it's good to have Wayne Peters back in for the second hour here. Wayne has actually been doing some pretty cool stuff with a bunch of doctors here lately. I'm going to let him talk about that a little bit today. Lots of stuff going on with the doctors, eh? Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Well, you missed the first part. What's my pet peeve of the week? Ice cream for vax. How ridiculous is that?
That's the new one. That's new one. Get your vaccine and you get a bowl of ice cream, kids.
Oh, and my.
Can you believe that the government actually said that, Wayne?
Barry and Wayne, I got something better for you guys. California is going to offer a lottery up to $1,000 for a vaccine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Right? Oh, man. I mean, that takes lemmings to a whole new level, right? It's just completely unfathomable to me that they are government, or the people supposedly in leadership, in control, would think that the population that they govern is that stupid that they would take a voluntary euthanasia experiment in exchange for a popsicle. Like, really? And for those that go running up to, and I mean, this might sound cruel, but and for those that are running up to get their ice cream at that little particular stand, I mean, that is, I guess, the process, the natural process of evolution taking place, and it's going to be a far more conservative world afterwards. I hope they get what they're wishing for. I don't know what else to tell them.
Really, you know, it's beyond insanity. Hearing this in the last week here from the government, the rollout of vaccines for children. I don't know what to say to people that would actually let this happen to their child, Wayne. I just don't know what to say to them. As you know, as a responsible adult and the caregiver to your child, you're supposed to look into anything that's going to affect their health. And anybody that really took some time and looked into these vaccinations, we won't call it a vaccination because it's not, this gene therapy, gene experiment, and allow this to go into the body of a young person, they should be taken out and hung, period. Well, I don't know how else to say it, but they should be, because anybody that's looked into it wouldn't do it. Wayne, go ahead.
It's been very interesting, and your audience may not be fully aware of what I've been up to. It's been a couple of weeks since I was on your show, and it's kind of all really snowballed out of a story that people might be familiar with. Was a group of scientists and doctors, medical experts, had challenged Doug Ford and his medical team to an open dialogue and debate about the COVID measures, including lockdowns, vaccinations, masks, all of these different things. So this was a group of nine doctors that had put forth this challenge. Long story short, I tracked one of them down, had an interview, and within a minute of that interview being done, my phone started ringing, and it never stopped ringing, and still, 3 weeks to this later, has not stopped ringing, and this has snowballed into such a giant story and an evolving story. And here's the interesting thing about this to me. Now, throughout the last couple of weeks, I've had the opportunity to interview so far nine of the brightest, most credentialed, most educated, not just doctors, but scientists, professors. These guys are at the tops of their field, not just in Canada, some of them in North America, including people that were at the very pinnacle of Mr. Trump's staff. These people are laying it out there and clearing the noise and providing the evidence and the truth of all of this stuff that's going on. And our government is in complete denial of this. And what it's doing is it is literally proving the crimes of our government by default. They cannot step up and provide anything counter evidence to what these doctors are providing. And it's mind-boggling to hear. And this is the significance of this. Most of these experts are pro-vax experts. These are the guys that developed the vaccines. These are the guys that developed the immunology testing. They do the science. They do the actual science, right? So to me, you know, being on the alternative side of this discussion and to hear from these guys that traditionally I would think are the enemy, per se, for lack of a better word, they're on the pro side of this. I'm on the negative side of this. But here we've got this collective of the brightest minds leaving that side of the fence, coming to our room and saying, literally, anything short of a revolution, I don't care what we have to do, we have to stop this vaccination program. This is the most significant news story in the country right now. When we look at the United States, 38 states wide open, almost a zero COVID count, and here we're escalating and escalating and escalating, and the only response from any level of government, municipal or otherwise, is go get stuck, go get stuck. No, it won't change anything, but go get a jab, go get a jab, go get a jab. This is creating an entirely alternative crime spree that when this is over, I'm taking them to account on that. That will be my life's work.
Well, hey, I absolutely applaud what you've been doing lately, Wayne, and you've really stirred the pot, and you've gotten a lot of people to pay attention that maybe weren't paying attention, but what we're seeing now is society's realizing the implications of what is actually going on, the ramifications if we allow this to continue with this vaccination program. It is absolutely insanity. All you hear on any mainstream media now in Canada, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is go get your jab, go get your jab. We're going to reopen society. Everything's going to be normal again, but taking the vaccine is all part of this, folks. It is absolute incredible amount of insanity. But like you said, look at Florida, look at Texas right now, Wayne. They're wide open. There isn't cases anywhere. They're back to life as normal. People are walking around, enjoying the outdoors and interacting and being social. Everything about their lives are back to normal. And yet in Canada here, all we hear about is new restrictions. Old Dougie there in Ontario is trying to push through a motion right now to keep this Emergency Measures Act in place until December. Why do they have to do that, Wayne? Because they can't administer this vaccine unless they're under a perceived medical emergency, and they have absolutely no proof. They cannot bring anything to the table to justify what they're doing. And this is waking a lot of people up, my friend.
Well, the doctor talks was just the beginning. The Ethics Over Fear Task Force, that's going to bring up the justice side of the discussion. And we're going to start seeing a lot more of that in Canada. Here's why I say it in such a way, is the governments are all doing what they're going to do. And we're spending a lot of time watching what they're doing and responding to it instead of maybe taking a closer examination of our environment. When they tell us, oh, we can open up, and this is just to use one example. It may not be the right one, but as an example, Scott Moe says that in one more week we'll be able to open up because we will have achieved 70% of our vaccination quota. And yet, you look at the national standards, we've only actually vaccinated about 3% or 4% of the population. So this tells me that there's another great big lie that's going on, and all they're doing is trying to walk softly backwards. Why are they doing that? Why are they starting to walk softly backwards? Because there is no place left for them to hide. Kenny and Ford have not come out of their bunkers except for make their public statements. And in Ford's case, he is absolutely getting decimated in his own House of Parliament. Kenny is doing the same thing. They are running out of MPs in their caucuses. They're at the end of their line.
And yeah, their back's up against the wall. Absolutely.
So any cornered animal comes out with everything they got in one giant flurry. And what are we seeing that flurry manifest itself as out of these genocidal rogue maniacs? The attack on the children. And that is the alligator that will wake the people and the parents up. And this is, again, going back to understanding our environments. Now, the government operates in a different perspective. Their job is to try and maintain control and direct and influence 100% of the population. Our goal and objective is to mobilize 3% of the population to stop them. And historically, that's all it takes. So they have a way bigger challenge ahead of them that is coming apart than what we do moving forward. Because I'll tell you what, over the last 3 years, we have seen endless cycles of people that came, got involved, and stepped back to take a break. And the silent majority is starting to roar. When you see in Alberta a guy named Ty Northcott, who is like a fifth-generation rancher rodeo, he is the heartland. He is the poster child for the heartland of Alberta, making his press statement yesterday in front of the legislature in Edmonton saying, how fitting that I'm doing this outside of my new office. This is change happening, and we are winning. And why? Because it's enough attacks on the children. I'm afraid we're going to lose a lot along the way, but that is unfortunately the price that people pay. It's human nature, and I think I've spoke to this on your show in the past, is that people don't learn the lesson until the price they pay is high enough. Well, Canadians are starting to pay a high enough price that they're willing to learn their lesson. The unfortunate side of it is there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to spend the next rest, or pardon me, the rest of their lives going, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? Yeah. Yep, and those people, right. I'm not necessarily going to be coming for justice for, but I can promise you every pusher of this is going to see justice on this plane of existence. And this task force will make it so.
Well, we really do have a problem on our hands right now in this country, Wayne. I didn't think I'd ever see the level of push from the government that I'm seeing right now. But it's because, like you said, their backs are up against the wall, that they're in this so deep right now that they cannot back out. They have no choice but to see it through. And they're throwing everything in their book at us right now. And what it's doing, like you said, it is really starting to wake up Canadians that maybe were asleep, knew that something was wrong, but now they're really starting to see the direct threat to their family and to their futures. And it is waking Canadians up. Not as fast as I want to see, but I am definitely seeing a change in the general population.
Well, it's a steering a nation is like steering the Titanic, and I'm only steering a little speedboat. I'm much quicker at turning a direction than what a nation is, and what we've actually encountered is kind of a byproduct of the society that's been engineered. And understanding that we live in an instant gratification society where no matter what we want or wish for, all we have to do is speak about it in a conversation and it magically appears in our timeline and our feed, and we hit a button and it shows up at our door. We have this instant gratification. So this is exactly what our people in governance, in corporate management, they're of the same mindset. Right. So they have a problem. They want an instant solution. So somebody from outside of Canada offered them up on a silver platter. Hey, this is this new fancy progressive solution. And this can you can look like you're saving the world, even though you're not doing a damn thing. But you can look like you're saving the world, and you can virtue signal and turn it into photo op moments. And this is exactly what a lot of these politicians got sucked into, is looking like they were doing something instead of actually doing the right thing, because they were looking to do what was easy, not what was correct. And once you get so far down that path, they turn around and they don't see a way back. And this is where we're at. And there's a lot of these elected officials that are starting to realize that if they don't put the brakes on this path, they're going to end up with rope burns somewhere.
Well, they're shooting themselves in the foot, man. They think that they've got a ticket to the big party, and they don't. They're just another pawn on the ladder. They're starting to realize that.
Well, there's a certain amount of that. I mean, there is a lot of evil, but there is a lot of misplaced innocence and useful idiots. And it's people that were, like I said, they were doing what was easy, not what was right. They were taking the information that was provided for them instead of looking for information for themselves. And sooner or later, this kind of insanity has to come to a stop. And this is where we're actually at. Now, all of these people that have been busy making themselves look busy, trying to look like they're doing something, have reached a point where there is no information to back up what they are doing. And if they turn around and go, oops, I'm sorry, well, then there's places like Nuremberg that are going to catch up to them really, really quickly. And the sad part of it is every day that goes by, more people, more innocent casualties are being created, and it's not going to change the guilt level of any of these people at this point. We are 12 months beyond that.
We need to make the public aware of the violations of the Nuremberg codes that are being done right now by our government. And I had a list made up the other day that was sent to me. I've been sharing it around all over the internet, and it's going viral. Everybody that I'm sharing it with is just, their jaws are dropping, and they're sharing it with everybody they know. So it is really, it's going to come down to education, making people aware of exactly just how criminal this government is with what they're doing with this vaccination program. Go ahead.
When they are blatantly ignoring truth that is offered to them, that makes it criminal. And this is, without calling them criminals, this is exactly the consensus between pretty much every single doctor that I've spoken to. Now, this is, these guys are scientists. Their method of operating and thinking is, I'll put my argument up, you put your argument up, whichever one proves correct, that's the winner. Right. So these guys are putting up their argument. There is absolutely zero response. So that by default, if the opposition cannot put up an argument, then they must be the winner. There is no evidence to prove them wrong. It's not about proving the government wrong. It's about prove the challenger wrong. So if there is no discourse, no discussion, then the only thing left to assume is guilt. So if this is in fact the case, if the government and the medical establishment will not address the facts and the science, hide behind anonymous terms like our experts, then the only thing left to discuss for us then is, how do we bring account to the guilty?
Exactly. That is the biggest challenge. That's the biggest challenge we face right now, Wayne, because we don't have a say in government anymore. We have no voice in parliament at all. So the only way we're going to make this work is communicating with people on a personal basis and sharing education. And you know what? Sharing printed literature seems to be an effective way to do that, Wayne. You know, write it on paper and hand it to somebody and have a little conversation with them, because, like, mainstream is not giving us any proper information. None of that is being exposed. None of these things that these doctors are saying on your shows are being exposed to the Canadian public. And that is a travesty, but that's, I think, the way we're going to have to get around this right now, because they're going to pass Bill C-10 this week, Wayne. You know that, eh? They're ramming that through Parliament right now. And if that passes, then this conversation that you and me are having right now might be a thing of the past.
You know, this is another indicator of exactly the culpability. And by moving the discussion away from the micro, sensationalist subjects, you won't catch me talking about masks. You won't catch me talking about, lockdown. This is all a part of the crime spree. So where we're going to be looking at is, okay, who are the guilty people here now? Because I was almost late for your show because I was in a meeting with people that are looking at, okay, how many millions of dollars do we need to start proceeding with lawsuits against people like Rosie Barton or, for example, some of these talking heads that are actively engaged as accomplices in this crime spree? How do we file lawsuits, and how much is it going to cost to file lawsuits against the boards of directors that are hiding behind these colleges of physicians and surgeons? How do we file lawsuits against these people of influence, these Hollywood celebrities that are taking bribes to coerce people? Whoever comes up with this ice cream idea, these are the people that need to be brought to justice. And when I'm talking with people about raising $50 million to bring these people to account, you can believe that there is serious discussion on credible evidence before a discussion like that even happens.
So what's going to happen here in the next little bit? Have you got more doctors coming on, Wayne? You got more doctors lined up here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, interesting thing about how this has transpired. When I first started on this path, I was hoping for was one interview with one of these specialists from this debate team.
Right.
What that quickly snowballed into was a one-on-one interview with each one of these amazing doctors with superhero guts. And throughout this process now, for each doctor that I've spoken to, four more have offered and want to speak up. So this is absolutely going to continue. We're going to be bringing more and more experts all this week. There's going to be more experts coming up. Some of the things I'm looking at doing is bringing some panel discussions up with two or three of these doctors and having them access to the public for these people to ask the questions that are burning the holes in their brains right now. We're working on a special this week to talk about adverse reactions to the vaccination. Now, this creates a whole other set of issues, as you know, with all of the censorship and those kinds of things. So I've been very busy this week building alternative access points for people so that once, regardless of Bill C-10 comes in, the information won't stop. How we get it, where we get it, that will change.
Right.
But the truth cannot be stopped. And this, Bill C-10, is a feeble, desperate gasp at stopping us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Trudeau pulling out all the stops. He knows he's starting to lose the battle. I see that. And what's going to come out next is a really good question. What are they going to come up with this week, Wayne? Something more, even crazier. But I agree that this is an attempt by the government to completely shut us down, but it's going to backfire on them because everybody I talk to is finding alternative medias to get the word out.
Well, Bill C-10 is the cover-up for the crime spree. That's really what it is. Calling a spade a spade. It's a genocide. This is an extermination program. Trudeau said specifically that if old-stock Canadians didn't like his program, then they would be replaced. This is him replacing the old-stock Canadians. But the thing is like I said earlier, they have always underestimated Canadians in general, and we're not going to go quietly into the night as he suspects. So things are going to get uglier on their part. They're a wounded, desperate, evil animal. They don't play fair, and they're going to come at us with everything they got. They're doing that right now. Right now they're attacking the children. Why to keep us again so distracted that we cannot defend ourselves? That's not going to work. All it's doing is empowering a nation. And there's going to be no place left for these guys to hide.
I'm looking forward to that day, Wayne. I really am, because what they're doing just has got me infuriated. But I believe what you're saying is true, that there's coming a day that they'll be held to account. I believe there's going to be enough Canadians start to wake up here that we will unify ourselves and put a stop to this. But I like the idea of these doctors that you're bringing together here, Wayne. Maybe we can get enough of them together, a large enough group that they issue public statements in a unified voice that the mainstream media will not be able to cover up. I believe we might be able to get to that point with what you're doing. What do you think? Because that would be really cool if mainstream media was actually forced to expose some of the things that these doctors are saying. That would get people scratching their head in a very big way. What do you think?
I think your wish is coming true as we speak. This is exactly what's happening. And what I'm experiencing with the response from these doctors is all they needed was a safe haven and a community to express themselves.
Because they're all being persecuted.
Exactly. They are literally doctors under duress. And there is power and strength in numbers. And so this is one of the foundations of this task force that I've been building, is bringing together the network of true journalists and real media to support these doctors, not just nationally, but internationally. And right. The response that is coming has been astronomical. So this is bringing the real media, and this is people might underestimate the power of all of this, and just not to highlight my platform, What's Up Canada, but it's what I'm familiar with. So, and I mean, ordinarily, I'm not even a numbers watcher. I don't do this for the numbers, but on behalf of these doctors, I have been watching the numbers because they're curious about what kind of reach their message is getting. You know, is it worth it for them for the risk that they're taking? Mm-hmm. So on that note, when I look at my small platform, I've got maybe 50,000 followers, you know, in that ballpark. But when I look at the numbers for last week, we had exactly half of the engagements that CBC, a $2.1 billion corporation, gets we had half of the engagements. Now, if you take the hate mail out of the CBC engagements, we're reaching more people than CBC is. Now, if you take and you multiply that times 20 or 30 others just like me, we are making an impact, my friend. And these doctors' voices are getting out, and it's getting out to the right people. And I'm getting people phoning me that are people of influence. How can we help? Connecting with military people. It's just people are looking for somebody to trust, somebody that is fighting for them, and somebody that will show a little bit of gut. I mean, just exactly the same reason why Chris Sky is becoming infamous. Why? Not because he's the best looking or he's the smartest guy in the world, but because he's got a little bit of guts.
And he does.
People are desperate for that, for somebody that's going to talk reasonably, make sense, use a little bit of common sense, and show some guts. So this yes. is why what we're doing is, I believe, unstoppable. And we're already seeing some of the mainstream media have to alter some of their tactics because it's not working.
We need 5,000 Chris guys right now in Canada, Dave or Wayne. We really do. If we had more Canadians doing what he's doing, the influence he's had on people, I just praise the guy. I had him on last week, and I really enjoyed my conversation with him. And he's going to come in next week and update me on everything that's been going on. He's releasing a book this week. So I would suggest anybody that's following Chris to go ahead and get a copy of that right away. Like I said, we need 5,000 Chris guys in Canada right now because our country is in a lot of trouble. But then I'm looking the same mouthful. This conversation with you today, I'll be quite honest with you, Wayne, here in the last couple of weeks, I've just been kind of scratching my head because at a local level here, sure, there's some people engaging in conversations with me, but a large group of them are still just in the dark. And it doesn't matter what I seem to do or say to them, they just don't want to hear the truth. So some days I feel like going, well, what can you do at this point? But I can't walk away. I can't. Knowing what I know, I can't walk away. And you've actually encouraged me quite a bit today. So thanks for doing that.
Well,
it's a tough gig we're in right now.
It is. And the thing for people to remember is it's always darkest before the storm, right? And I mean, something that I've said repeatedly is that the insanity is unsustainable, and sooner or later people will stop complying to the insanity, and well, now it's reaching out and it's touching them. I think this was before we were on the air. I used the analogy is, you know, there's a difference between hearing that there's an alligator in your neighborhood and seeing that alligator walking up and down your street. Well, anybody with kids right now, they're seeing that alligator in their front yard, on their front doorstep, and they cannot deny a problem at this point. They cannot continue to live in oblivion any longer. And this fight that I'm bringing to the table with these, on behalf of these doctors, is the only fight that keeps us out of civil war right now, I believe, wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. believe that the more – I believe we're winning this fight. I absolutely do believe that we're winning this fight. But what that does is it scares me because these guys are radicals. They are rogue, and they are scared of rope burns. So – this last ditch attempt at them to go after our kids it's got to be the breaking point for either the insanity or it'll be the breaking point of our nation.
Well, I don't want to see my nation broke, so I will continue to do what I can do, Wayne, and what you're doing. I just applaud because it really has impacted. I was kind of looking at your videos. I've listened to, I don't know, I think it's probably two of the doctors that you had on that I didn't get a chance to listen to, but I've listened to the rest of them, and what incredible information. Like I said, if we could just get that to the Canadian general public in widespread coverage, you would see a change in this country because people would realize all of a sudden the threat to their children. And that, like you said, is the trigger point with most people. When you start threatening their children, you threaten them with harm, you're going to stir the pot. And that would wake up a majority of the Canadians, I believe, that are still asleep.
Yeah, and that, to me, is the power of what these doctors have done. And I really want to encourage people. I don't care if you absolutely despise me. I don't care. I don't care if you're 100% on the left. I don't care. What you do need to listen to, though, is to listen to those doctors. And we've spent 16 or 14 months in absolute chaos. And in 8 hours, those doctors address and answer everything, single thing in one way, shape, or form. Everything that has been causing people chaos and grief has been addressed in that 9 hours or 10 hours of video footage. Every answer that they need to make an informed decision about their stance is in there. But it's up to us as individuals to seek out that information. And this is where we have to take personal responsibility for our roles as Canadians, as parents, as contributors to our society. And this is where, as independent journalists, we have taken up that responsibility of disseminating this kind of information. So as much as you applaud me, thank you. I applaud you. You're doing something that I can't do. And you are doing exactly what you need to do and what you can do. And you're reaching people that I can't reach. And this is the collaboration that is coming together in this task force that has got me so impressed. We're seeing the birth of something happen that has never been seen on Earth before. A meeting of purpose and noble cause between the medical establishment and the real media. And this is the path to freedom, to remedy for all of this is truth and facts and science. But it's going to be up to us as the journalists to do what we can to push the message throughout our echo chambers to bring people and to provide them the opportunity to make the decision to look at the research. The responsibility is always going to be theirs. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make them drink. We can give them the water if they choose to drink it or not. That's up to them. But if we don't do that, then we have failed in our responsibility when we assume that mantle as journalists.
I've been getting friend requests from young people here in town. I've been engaging in conversations with Wayne, and it's actually something that's inspired me. I had a conversation with a young guy yesterday, about 22 years old. And at the end of the conversation, he said to me, he says, you know, we got a really big problem when the solution is 10 times as worse as the disease. His words to me exactly. And I said to myself, you know what? This kid has got it. You know, for every one of them that's got it, they're going to go out and start talking to their friends because that's what they do. We really need to reach the millennials. One of the publications I follow a little bit in Canada is the Post-Millennial. And their audience, Wayne, has been growing exponentially. The numbers of millennials that are actually reading that publication now has exploded. Ali told me that when they started that publication, I think it was 4 years ago, they had about 10 to 17% of millennials reading the publication. Well, that number now is at 40% of their audience is millennials. So the young people are starting to pay attention. Boy, if we could get their ear, Wayne, we could turn this around on a dime because they speak very loud. They do. So that's something that's been encouraging for me.
I'll tell you where the disconnect is. They know exactly what we know. You know what they're looking for? Something that we, the generation before them, are not providing them. A way out.
A solution to the problem.
A solution to the problem. All that they are seeing us do is bitch and bitch and bitch and bitch and bitch. And they're not arguing with us, but they're not taking part because they don't see any fruit in that for them. That is not how they work and operate. But I guarantee you, we provide a solution, a way out, an exit strategy plan that makes sense. And they will gravitate to this. And this is exactly what I'm seeing in already in just what we've started. But the challenge is I have 50,000 followers. If I wasn't being suppressed and censored for 3 years, I would have 500,000 followers. Right? This is the challenge. I cannot reach that extra zero or that extra two zeros. So this is where it's going to take the cooperated effort of all of us to provide them the same as the water for those guys, the same as the water for the other horses, right? We've got to show them a way out. And until seeing these doctors and seeing the people coming together for this task force, I didn't see a way out of that. I mean, stopping it was one thing, but how do we get back to reality? Create closure to get out of this? There has to be accountability. There has to be somebody to say it was their fault. There has to be investigations, and nobody is providing all of that until now. This hasn't been a part of the discussion.
There's also an international consortium of doctors that are doing the same thing that you're doing right now. Wayne, I can't remember the name of the group. Do you want to talk about that? Because you're aware of that, I'm sure.
That's well, there's several, actually, and I've had most of them reach out to me as well. There's the people that are involved with the Barrington Declaration.
Right, the Great Barrington Declaration, yep.
Yep, there's an organization out of Australia. They've reached out to me. And there's I've heard from Dr. Tenpenny's staff, Dr. Cahill's staff, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s staff. I've been put in contact with the Nuremberg legal teams, and these things are all happening before their time even yet. We're not at that stage yet, but the fact that these people are looking and watching what is happening in Canada and offering their assistance and their expertise and their teams and their knowledge is a really big indicator to me that we're on the cusp of making the difference that people are looking for. And I, the big thing that I want people to hear out of all of this is nobody in this community or in this organization is an anti-vaxxer. That's a very serious misnomer. But we are absolutely anti-stupidity and anti-suicide.
Experimental gene therapy.
Well, the kitchen counselor, he said it best when he called us all guinea pigs, right? Did you hear about that?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I also have people sending me videos now. A guy picking a mushroom picker here. A guy really just not paying attention to anything going on. Well, a couple of his friends went and got the Pfizer vaccine, and they heard about the magnets on the shoulder thing, and they went and did it. And holy smokes, the magnets sticking to her arm. How come, Wayne? What are they putting in these vaccines, buddy? It got them thinking. Really got him thinking.
And that therein is the challenge. There's a lot of people thinking, but nobody's got a source for the truth. This is what we're trying to build the foundation of with these doctor talks. And, each one of these guys, and I was very clear to them that I was not going to steer this conversation. This was their time to lay out what they needed the public to hear.
Right.
And,
What it's doing is actually getting people that were completely asleep to actually start asking questions. And that is the start, Wayne. That's a starting point that everybody has to come to at one point in their life when they realize that, something is really, really messed up in Denmark and it needs our attention. And for their friends to be actually seeing this with his own eyes, he's got a video. I'll send you the video. But you see it with their own eyes, right at the injection point. They got injected the day before that they actually did this with the magnets. They got injected. And you can see the needle point, and they put it right there. Everywhere else, the magnet falls off their arm. But sure as heck, you put it against the injection point, and it is sticking there. We've seen so many videos like that coming out here in the last week, numerous videos. We got doctors talking about it.
Those were cool, but there's some cooler ones that people are sending me now where their phones are pairing up with their vaccination number.
Via Bluetooth.
guy walks up to a TV.
Nothing to see there, Wayne.
Guy walks up to a TV in a coffee shop, and he waves his hand at the TV in the coffee shop, and the TV turns on and says, pairing to his vaccination number, right? So this guy, can you imagine walking through something like the bricks or the TV section, and there's a thousand TVs all plugged in on the wall there, and they're all trying to pair up with your vaccine number? you couldn't even write a B button.
You couldn't make this up if we tried, Wayne. We couldn't make this up. I mean, what is going to come next, man? It's just like we don't even know, because how long have they been rolling this out now? We are only starting to see the start of what it's going to do to people. And you know what? I honestly believe that 99% of the people that have gone ahead and taken this vaccine in the very, very near future are going to regret the decision. But unfortunately, my understanding of this, Wayne, and I'm sure your doctor spoke on this week, that once this is in your body, there ain't no getting it out. Am I correct?
I will give you one quote from one of the doctors in one of the 9 interviews that I've done. And he said, flat out, he says, Mark, the date and time. All four of these vaccinations will end up being labeled as blood clotting murderers.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. That seems to be the biggest side effect that we're seeing right now, and it's just started. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is from one of the most pro-vaccine developers in this country telling us to stop, he almost did. And then he says, I cannot advocate for violence, but if we have to have a revolution to stop this, we have to stop this.
Yeah, well, who is it that I just listened to, one of the head pathologists in the world, guy got, has had two Nobel Peace Prizes, I believe, has come out and made statements almost identical to what you're saying, that this is genocide, that what we're doing right now has to be stopped at all costs. But then I've also heard doctors talking about the contagious factor of this so-called vaccine and how it can be transmitted from person to person without you actually taking the vaccine. You want to speak on that for a minute? I know your doctor spoke on that a little bit this week, Wayne.
Well, the big thing that they have spoken to so far, and this is where, as enlightening as these doctors have been, the audience should understand, I guess, that these doctors were having their talks with me as part of another program. They were, at this point in their initial interviews with What's Up Canada, they were speaking to the points that they were addressing or challenging the Ford government over. So they weren't willing to step outside of the parameters of those particular discussions at this point in time. So that was something that within these specific conversations, they did address in small details, but the consensus from this so far, specifically to those discussions, was that there's not enough data. There is no data. There is no actual factual data. And the typical sources of information, and this is one of the big problems that is identifying itself in amongst all of this, is through the doctors' peer-reviewed paper processes, there's corruption. And there's influence, and so there's a real disconnect in the legitimacy. So what this has done is this has really nullified most of the data available. So this is where exactly for these guys, they say we can't answer without the science. We cannot give you just a random guess. And the science is that the information that we have been receiving is corrupted. And there is no data available and no time for testing. And so far what they are seeing for adverse reactions makes them demand a stop to this immediately. So that said, these particular group of doctors, and this is one of the amazing things about this opportunity, is that they're, so far almost all of these doctors have been the leading experts in their fields, but very different fields. So over this coming week, this specific subject will be something that we will be able to get the doctors to speak more specifically to. And cool. Week by week, these guys, they're 100% committed on the research and on this. This isn't like it was 2 years ago where they worked on this project, that project. They worked on 10 different projects in a day, right? That was their normal lifestyle before. Now these guys are 100% committed to the research that they're doing because of the pandemic. So each week there is far more data coming out. They're looking, they're finding alternative sources for data. They're sorting through the available data. So there's more information coming, and this week that is a subject that we will absolutely be addressing on What's Up Canada in greater detail.
A couple of volcanoes are about to go off on this planet right now, Wayne. That's one of them. Another one is you follow American politics and what's going on down there right now with the audits that have been ordered for, I think it's 20 states have ordered forensic audits now in light of what happened. I'm not changing subjects, but it's something that's relevant, of course, to us right now, because I believe the volcano is about to blow up down there right now with what's going on. What do you think?
I think you are 100% hitting the nail on the head. And one of the things that I have said all along, right from the beginning, Trump doesn't just shrug his shoulders, give up, and walk away.
Well, I hope, you know what, I kind of for a while here, I've been going, you know, like, why is this allowed to be going on right now? Why why is this going forward? Why is Biden being systematically allowed to just absolutely destroy the United States of America? But I believe that some real serious pushback is coming here in the next month. I honestly believe that now.
One of the interesting things about all of the train wreck that has been Joe Biden is there is nothing that he has done yet that isn't reversible in a moment.
Yep. One day.
One day. Everything that he's done. Everything that he has done has been very superficial, very shallow stuff. There's been really nothing as far as for major infrastructure. He does not have control of the military other than by periphery or by appearance. All along the way here through the entire process, there's been things that did not add up, did not make sense. And I don't understand their politics enough to suggest what may or may not be happening, just that nothing is going according to what should be standard operating procedure. Nothing is happening in the normal ways of the way their government moves and operates. There are things that are not adding up, and that's without taking into account some of the things that we do see, like 400 generals basically telling Biden's team to cease and desist, or you're going to have a civil war, and we're going to take you out, and doing so formally. That doesn't happen every day now, does it?
No, I heard that, and I've actually read some of the things these generals are saying, and it's pretty powerful. It's got to come to a stop, because everything he's doing right now, Wayne, is just absolute insanity. None of it is productive for the United States of America, but then that's not the agenda. They're going to try and destroy it as quickly as they can, and now we're going to see the pushback come. I believe that. And you like Trump or hate him, I don't care at this point. What choice do you have in the United States of America? You don't. You got Joe Biden, man, and I'll tell you, he's just as bad as Trudeau, Wayne. Honest to God, I try and listen to the guy talk, and with Trudeau, I get an actual vomiting sensation when I listen to him talk. And I get that same vomiting sensation when I listen to Joey there talk. It's unbelievable, the levels of insanity coming out of that guy's mouth. It's a joke. It's got to be a joke.
I can't even do that to myself. I can't. But what I do though is I'll go and watch the other foreign leaders' responses to him. I don't care what Crazy Joe is saying. I'll catch the byline on what Crazy Joe is saying. I'm more interested in what Putin's got to say about it.
Well, you know, I do force myself to listen to him because I want to hear what's coming out of his mouth. You know, I mean, it's hard, but I do make myself listen to the guy, and I haven't heard a logical thing come out of that man's mouth at all. Not one logical thing since he's taken the so-called reins of the United States of America. But I believe that's coming to an end very, very soon here. It has to come to an end, or else there won't be anything left of the U.S. of A. in 2 years. Well, I don't think they can go to the next to the Senate and the House races. I don't know if America can stand the onslaught of what's going on right now, especially with what's going on at the border.
Well, look, the way I see that playing out there, and I mean, it's exactly what I said right from the beginning of the call out for the fraud on the election. I said the wheels of justice turn slowly. This is going to take 6, 8, 9 months to roll itself out, and Biden will play president for that period of time. But throughout that period of time, this is going to be the only way that the Americans will ever accept the corruption in their country without going to a civil war. So this is natural process that has to transpire. And at the end of the day, I think that the American system is going to get a purging and a cleanup. And you're starting to see small grassroots where, and this is again something that I harp on a lot about taking personal responsibility. You're seeing people in their communities taking personal responsibility for their communities and taking back their school boards, taking back their communities, and doing this at a municipal level. And this is exponentially teaching people and inspiring others. And we're seeing it here in Canada as well. Just in people like Kevin J. Johnston, or bless him, Mr. Ty Northcott, the next premier of Alberta. Alberta is going to be cattle country again. That is so inspiring for me to hear that. So this insanity is correcting itself. It is by people taking responsibility for their own community. And that's exactly how we beat globalism.
Say Wayne.
Yeah.
Barry. I was wondering about the lumber industry being shut down in Canada. Do you think that's going to pick back up and lumber be sent to America?
It's a really tough question.
It is.
This is a part of the manufactured destabilization. Now, that was a term that I coined a little over a year ago. And this is it's part of the process, this costing of lumber. This is a part of the process of making us unable to own homes. This is all a part of the sustainable agenda, development agenda.
Well, the same here in America, too, because
the same process happening in the agriculture and food industry.
Yes.
Okay, this is where the inflation and the destabilization is being manufactured. So right. I would say that once the dust all settles, we will be living more in a community bartering type of system. And the big corporations are going to learn the same Gillette lesson that companies like Coca-Cola and some of these other companies are learning right now. And we'll have that's what the reset is going to look like. It's going to go back to community living.
Well, that would be okay with me, I'll tell you.
Don't forget about your time, Barry.
One of the benefits of these high lumber prices in Canada has been is a company in Calgary that I talk about all the time, Wayne, and the jump in his business that he's seen since the prices in lumber going up, because now you can literally build a house for half the price in hemp that you can in lumber. And people are looking at hemp building products and they're going, wow, these things blow wood right out the door and we can do it for half the price. So there's always a silver lining to that.
Yeah,
because it's really making his business explode, and it's bringing public attention more and more and more to hemp building products, which would be an absolute godsend for our planet, my friend.
Well, and this is where once we get into remedy, into fixing the system, and that's a whole other show of discussion. The big byproduct of that is eliminating debt and eliminating large government and thereby eliminating expenses. The bulk of the cost of lumber is taxes, and it all goes to a greedy corporate government. Great. The only thing that we have more of than trees in Canada is maybe a few more blades of grass. The only reason lumber is so ridiculously expensive is because they want it to be expensive.
Right.
This again is part of this the insanity that is not sustainable, and you know this creates a necessity, and necessity is the mother of invention, and that is there are opportunities opening up for in every facet of the world. Any part that is corrupted by this globalism is going to come apart, and it's going to provide a vacancy, a void that is going to provide opportunity for others, just like myself in the media and the 50 other small independent media outlets right now that have the lion's share of the market. And this is why they have to create something like Bill C-10, because we have the market share.
Don't forget about your time, Barry.
Yeah, we're down to about 4 minutes here, Wayne, for the hour. But before I let you go here, why don't you let people know where you can and listen, this video, this series of talks you've had with these doctors, it'd be really cool if you could comprise that and put it on one CD so people could get it all in one shot. Maybe you could. I know that you probably something you've already thought of, but that would be a really good idea, because I'm sure lots of people would love to listen to it. And can you share where people can find you here before I let you go, buddy?
Well, that's actually a really great idea I hadn't thought of yet is in dispersal of this, but right now...
Well, that's a great idea, then. I come up with a good idea.
You did. And some of the alternative measures that I've been taking is I've backed up all of these videos, all of these interviews. You'll find them on Rumble at What's Up Canadian. You will find them. We just launched on the Liberty platform last night. All of the doctor videos are there. There's going to be a lot more of them. We're sharing these doctors out to other interviewers and platforms as well. But most everything can be found at whatsupcanada.org. And on all of the social media platforms, it's one variation of either What's Up Canada or What's Up Canadian, one of the two. You will find our stuff, or just look under hashtag Doctor Talks and you'll probably find us.
Cool. Well, folks, go up and take a look at what he's doing. I urge everybody to get involved in sharing this information around, because it is time right now that for us to roar, and we need to roar, because they are roaring in our ears, and the deafening sound is starting to drown out a lot of good people. So time to stand up and really push back against these people. And what Wayne's doing, I absolutely applaud him for doing that. Keep up the good work, Wayne, and I will be following you this week as more and more of your people come forward. The idea, like I said, put it on a video and put it out there, and I'm sure people would buy it, buddy, because it would compile a lot of good information. It doesn't take a lot to do that, so something you might want to do this week or in the next couple of weeks and put it out, and I'll promote it for you.
Definitely something to think about. Very much appreciated. Thanks for having me on your show again, Barry. It's always a pleasure. I love the opportunity to speak freely. It's a nice change from being on the answering the questions from asking them. So it's very appreciated. And
you're not on with
God
any.
God bless your audience.
You're not on with any doctor, that's for sure. just an old bald headed fart up here in Canada trying to make sense out of this world, Wayne. And you sure brought a lot of that to the table today. So thanks again, my friend.
My pleasure. It's an honor.
Okay, guys, I'll be back in 3-4 minutes. Ed Jamnicek's going to step in for Kellyanne because Kelly can't make it today, unfortunately. She's feeling very sick. She was actually talking to me yesterday and she was looking forward to it, but she's under the weather. So Ed's going to stop in and have a chat with me for an hour. I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Lord, I can't go back there. Indiana wants me. Lord,
Welcome back to Last Hour, folks, and thanks again for Wayne for coming in. Always enjoy talking with Wayne, and I'll get him back here in the very, very near future, promise. Kellyanne Wolf was going to join me today. I was talking to her yesterday. She was all excited about coming in, but Kelly is kind of under the weather today, and she's telling us that she feels like crap. So Ed Jamnesik has been good enough to step in and cover her for the last hour here. Ed, how you doing? Welcome back to the show, and what's your pet peeve of the week? I'm going to start with that.
Oh, Barry, 1 hour won't do it. Come on. Be more specific, please.
Okay, number one pet peeve. I was going to start the last hour with Wayne because that's how I usually start my conversations with Wayne, is his pet peeve of the week, but I didn't, so I'm going to start that with you today. How's that? What is your pet peeve? Number one.
You know, I don't know if your listeners know how bad it is here in Ontario as far as all the lockdown measures that they've Ford government has put down on us, but this COVID nonsense has got to come to an end, and soon. But by the way things are going, from what we're hearing in the news, and by what I see on the streets here in Toronto, we're months and months and months away from this. So I've come across some information on a group of doctors called the FLCCC Alliance.
Right.
And I don't know if you've had a chance to look into who they are, if you can pull them up on the internet there, Barry, but there's a group of doctors, and it's headed up by Dr. Corey, and I believe he's located in Wisconsin. It's a great state of in the great United States there. And they've got a cure, and they've got protocols for curing long COVID, short COVID. These guys can get someone that's on death's door and literally have them walking out of the hospital in a matter of days with the proper treatment.
Right.
So I don't know if you're aware of ivermectin, if you ever looked into what that is.
Yeah, I am, Ed. I'm fully informed about it and its ability to absolutely stop this virus dead in its tracks. The cost of it per dose and what it could do to our society if we were allowed to use it instead of sticking this poison in our arms. Go ahead.
So what these guys have done is, what these doctors have done, they've been working with other doctors from around the world, and they've been actually prescribing this stuff, and they're fighting to get its use expanded into the United States. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it in Canada, but I do have friends in the pharmacy business, the legal pharmacy business.
Right.
And I asked them to get me some of the stuff, and, you know, a couple days later, they call me back and say, it's just not available here in Ontario.
Mm.
And okay, we'll get it out from out of province. Again, a couple days later, no luck. It's not available here in Canada. And so how can that be? It's one of the cheapest drugs out there. It's been out there for 50 years already. It's been used as a dewormer. And I think if you had a really, really bad lice infection, you could have gotten it a few years ago.
Yep.
But it seems it's been banned here in Ontario.
It's been around for 50 years. It's been approved by the FDA. It's been prescribed approximately, the numbers I looked on it, were 17 billion times it's been prescribed in society, has no negative effects on the body, and can be prescribed at about 12 cents per dose to people, as opposed to sticking this poison in their arms. And what is wrong with our world? What's wrong with the Canadian government? This information they have. Of course, they don't want the public to have that information, Ed, because that would blow their vaccine regimen right out the door, wouldn't it? Instantly, overnight, gone.
Yep, we're thinking along the same lines here, Barry.
Well, of course we are.
The fact that they're keeping this buried and the fact that we've got a cure. Now, why did all these draconian laws and shutdowns come down on us so heavily over the past year?
Well, Ed, right from the beginning of this, there's never been any talk contrary to what the government is telling us. They don't tell you about vitamin D, vitamin C, get outside, exercise, how important exercise is to the strength of your immune system, where your immune system actually starts, which is in the gut, what you can do to your gut to super modify your immune system, which will basically knock anything in your body right out. They don't talk about any of that because it doesn't fit their narrative. They want to sell us a poison vaccine. They're pushing this so hard right now that it's just unbelievable. You cannot turn on the TV and not hear, get your vaccine, get your vaccine. It's safe and effective. And now they want to stick it in our kids, Ed. That is a line in the sand that people really should be freaking out about. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll go back to that further in the show, but to stay with the treating ice cream for vaccines.
Yeah, I know.
But let's go back to where this started, Barry. The whole thing was a pandemic, and I've got an issue with this, what they call a pandemic. The definition of what a pandemic is was changed back in 2008 or 2009.
Right.
And they redefined it to any condition or any disease that is common in most of the countries around the world. It's got nothing to do with 7 or 8% of the population dying inside of a year, which used to be the definition.
Right.
So most of the people, you know, when someone says to me there's a pandemic, I'm thinking, okay, I'm expecting a huge, huge die-off of people from a disease.
Never happened.
Exactly. It never happened. But they told it was happening. So back in March, I actually wore a mask for the first couple weeks because I wasn't sure what was going on. And then you start digging into it little by little. They're going to hang on. No one's getting sick. No one's dying. But you see the videos coming out of China where you've got Chinese actors, you know, dropping dead on the side of the street and they're foaming at the mouth. Well, I didn't see that here either. So maybe it's a different virus.
Well, Ed, when this first came out, Trudeau came out in front of the microphone and said to Canadians that 50,000, minimum 50,000 are going to die. And if we implement these moves right now, we may be able to keep it to under 350,000. That was his words the first couple of days that this was announced to the public. And everybody just freaked and ran to their houses and hid under their couches. Unbelievable bottling that the government does and people are buying it, buddy. What a joke this is. It's a biggest scam ever played on the human race, Ed. Go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, you're going there with this biggest scam. That's true. And these COVID models, I'd love to see these ladies, but what these COVID models actually looked like and where they got these stupid numbers from. Or was it based on some con artist that's been making false predictions of doom and gloom and loss of life for many, many years? If you look into who actually produced these models.
Right.
It's
the organizations behind them. Yeah, you look at the organizations behind them, who's pushing the buttons. You know, I mean, it's all coming from Communist China in an indirect way. And everything that's happening right now is coming from Communist China, either via the World Health Organization or other organizations that they control. I mean, they're making the test swabs that we're sticking up our noses. They're making the masks that we're covering our faces with. They're making 80% of our prescription drugs now. I mean, and these people are not our friends. People got to wrap their minds around the fact that China is our sworn enemy, that they have no good intentions for our country, and yet we're allowing them to be involved with such incredible stuff in our society, like producing these masks and the test kits. And then we look into what we've found out already about these, the nanobots, and what they can do with this kind of technology. And this is coming from our enemies through the World Health Organization. I mean, these people are insane, and they're destroying our country, Ed.
Okay, so you touched on a couple things here. The Chinese are not our friends, but apparently, remember back in March or April of last year, Trudeau sent was it millions of dollars of our own PPE over to China?
Yeah, just before the pandemic hit. Yeah, just before it hit.
So what did he know that we didn't know?
Well, they've known about it for years. This was planned years and years ago. 2015, this was on the drawing boards, Ed. Fauci was involved in 2016. You look at what they did through the NIH and how they funded the labs in China. Okay, I'm going to have to step away. My dog is going crazy here. I got to let him out for a sec, guys. Hold on. I'll be right back. Steve, can you carry on for a sec? I'll be right back. Ed.
Maybe Fauci's wife is coming to check up on you, Barry. And that's another person of interest as far as I'm concerned. Steve, have you ever looked into who Fauci's wife is and what position she holds within the FDA? Steve? Hello, Steve. Anyways, we should take a look into what Fauci's wife does. Apparently, she's the one that approves these treatments and drugs and allows the emergency authorizations with the American FDA. So, again, there's a bit of a conflict. Well, a bit. It's a huge conflict of interest. So Fauci, we know, is making money hand over fist, and his supporters or whoever he's tied in with. Bill Gates is a heavy investor in the vaccine industry. We know the vaccine industry was on its heels back in 2019 and years prior to that, because they haven't had any new vaccines. You know, the market was not expanding. And another thing I want to discuss is, Barry, I'd like to get your opinion on this. We've heard a lot of people saying, well, this is going to be a slow death, a slow kill. And I was thinking about it. You know, if I was in the drug industry and wanted to have customers for many, many, many years, what's the best way, or what's the best disease or sickness you can put onto these people? Now, would you want them to die off in 2 years? No, you want to keep these guys alive, but barely alive. So why not just have a vaccine that harms you just enough so that they have to keep selling you more and more vaccines to keep you reasonably healthy? Not healthy, but reasonably healthy.
But what you've been, what you're talking about right now, Ed, they've been doing that for years and years and years and years. Any prescription drug is not made to heal the human body. It's made to bring you back in a couple months with another problem. And the analyticals they store in your body, liver, and they continue to interact with each other and fight with each other. Drug interaction, I think it's the number three or number four killer in the United States of America. They're the drug dealers. But what we're dealing with here is a completely different scenario. I don't think it's about money with this at all, Ed. I think this could be, it might be the end game where they actually do want to kill off 6.5 billion of us. And they could possibly do that with a combination of this vaccine, which they're trying to get into everybody on the planet. Couple that with some of the technology that we know about and some of the technology that we don't know about. I'm talking about 5G phased array technology, directed energy technology, frequency technologies. We know that if the human body is exposed to certain frequencies, that you can actually make people drop dead on the spot by simply scrambling the frequencies in their bodies. So who's to say that they haven't put some of these receivers into these vaccines? And when the time comes, they turn on a little machine they got maybe out in space that we don't know about. And I'm talking science fiction here, but I'm not. Because we've got to remember that their technology, and we've said this so many times on our show, is 10 to 15, maybe even 20 years ahead of what we're allowed to know of today. So if we did 20 years down the road from now, Ed, what little toys would they have maybe lined up to work in coordination with this vaccine that's being rolled out? Boy, that sounds crazy, but it's not, because we're dealing with people that plan 15 years in advance. So we could be all putting something in our body that people that are taking this vaccine, they could be putting something in their body that could potentially kill them on the spot. I believe that. That's how evil these people are. It's just one of the thought processes I've kind of run through my brain. And a lot of it, maybe it sounds a little crazy, but maybe not. What do you think?
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking. Taking another look at this, another angle from it, and being self-employed for many, many years. And if you try to think like an evil, satanic person that wants
to dominate the world,
it is hard to do, stretching that kind of mind frame. But from a business point of view, if you can get someone sick just a little bit, so it doesn't really feel that bad, or it hurts you, but it hurts you a bit, and then keep selling them more and more cures, alleged cures, and they've got a customer for life. So,
well, they do.
In 6 months, they say, oh, well, we made a mistake with the vaccine, but we've got a cure, and here's another jab, jab number three.
Mm-hmm.
This will reverse the damage, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now they got a new variant. Now we got a new variant, so we created a new vaccine, guys. I mean, the old one can't work because it's mutated. But you know what? They start children at a very young age to get them on drugs for life. I mean, 6 million American children are on Ritalin. Well, I mean, just the effects of that alone to the development of a child, they're basically setting themselves to be on antidepressants for the rest of their lives, because that's what Ritalin does to them. I got a niece, Ed. She's living in Ontario, and my sister had her on Ritalin for about 8 or 9 years of her life, and she is not able to function in society today in any shape or form. She's on a permanent mental disability. She can't function in society. Well, tell me it's all coincidence, but I could show you literally And if you look on the internet, folks, you'll find out what I'm telling you is true. Hundreds and hundreds of different reports about the effects on of Ritalin. So what they're doing is they're setting your children up to be permanent customers for the rest of their lives because they know they're going to end up selling them an antidepressant. My niece is on three different drugs right now, and she's just a mess. But it's because her brain was scrambled at a development point. You can't, you know, and I wanted to find out what Ritalin did to people. So I was back east visiting my sister, and the little blue pills were sitting on the counter. So I took one. And earlier in my life, something I'm not proud of, but I fooled around with cocaine for a while. It was a long, long time ago, but I know what the effects of cocaine are on the body. And I'll tell you, that little blue pill, half an hour after I took it, I was bouncing off the walls. If you'd have put me outside in a quarter-mile race, I would have won it because I was just flying. And that was just one of these little blue pills that you're putting into the minds of a 12-year-old, 13-year-old developing child. The effects are absolutely detrimental and destructive. And yet this is what society is doing to our children, to treat something that doesn't even exist. The disease of ADHD was created by psychiatrists to sell drugs to society. Look into that one, folks. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I guess I was lucky because I used to be a bit of a daydreamer in high school, and I had attention deficit disorder. Get bored as hell really fast and really easy, so I really have
fidgeting,
to...
Fidgeting and everything else. That's a sign of intelligence, Ed. And if Einstein had been around in the day of Ritalin, they would have put him on Ritalin because he was a problem in school, so we hear. But it's a sign of intelligence. Go ahead.
So here they are, and again, they've got a customer for life, right? Good for the drug company. Bad for your niece, though, isn't it?
Well, that's, you know, like I said, Ed, there isn't a prescription drug, and prove me wrong, folks, that actually treats and cures this disorder in your body. They're designed to be a Band-Aid. All prescription drugs are is a Band-Aid. They treat the symptoms, but they don't treat the problem. And by treating the symptoms, people feel alleviated. They go home. They're fine for a while, but then all of a sudden something else comes up and they're back at the doctor's office. He's taking out his little book and writing you another prescription. Well, Ed, every prescription on the market today contains analyticals, and those analyticals store in body fat. Well, isn't that convenient because America just happens to be the most obese nation on the world? What a great place for all these analyticals to hide. Well, they get in there and they start interacting with each other, and you throw another one in there. They don't go to your body. They don't flush out in a week or two. They're there for years and years and years. So drug interaction is one of the biggest problems we have. That's why they monitor all these drugs now, and they're starting to really pay attention to it. But in the same mouthful, they're killing people, and they know it. They don't care. It's all about money, buddy. They don't give a darn about your life in one iota. They wouldn't care if you drop dead in front of them. As long as they can suck every dollar out of your body, they can before you die. That's the game, man. And that's what the prescription industry is all about today. What a joke. Very naturals, Ed. Naturals. Chaga. Chaga.
Chaga's excellent as a tea. Barry, have you ever gotten into or dug into the Rockefellers and their links to the modern-day medical system and the drug companies and that?
Enough to know that they were involved before the Second World War, that the Aspirin Corporation ties with the Bush family, and I've looked into it. I don't have quite the ability to retain all the information that I have looked at, Ed, but there's unbelievable ties, backdoor deals going on. You just look at the back doors between the CDC and the FDA and all these other agencies. Well, you know, a guy will be the president of the CDC for 10 years, and then he's over the FDA, and he's president there for 10 years. It's just a continual change-up of the guards amongst the most important organizations in the world. And these are the people that are mandating how society is being run, but they're being run by Big Pharma. Big Pharma basically runs the world, Ed. We know that.
Well, Barry, if anyone called me a capitalist, I would say guilty as charged. But in this case, capitalism and our laws have failed us in both sides of the border.
Yeah, so. They have, Ed. They have. So we're looking for solutions. We need solutions. Everybody wants a solution. We all know the problems, but we got to come up with solutions. And, you know, Ron talked about some good ideas. He always brings good ideas to the table about how we can turn this around by taking back the power at the local levels. But that's not going to happen overnight. We've got a big problem in Canada right now that needs drastic attention. So I'm looking for a solution to it right now, Ed. And what Wayne is doing, I believe that will have an unbelievable effect going forward here in the next couple of months, where we can actually get the information out to the Canadian people, force the media to expose some of the things that are actually going on with this so-called pandemic, as opposed to being forced to cover the government's narrative. If we could do that, we could turn this thing around.
Well, this is what I've proposed to Vaccine Choice Canada a couple weeks ago. I said, guys, they have the cure. And we're talking about the FLCC Alliance. And they're not selling ivermectin or these other drugs. They have no conflict of interest. They will not benefit at all by the sales of ivermectin or the other antibiotics or the vitamins. They got no interest in it. These doctors really want to cure people. So, and they've got the cure. They've repurposed another mild psychotropic drug, I believe. There's a 100% cure within hours of administering it. And we're only talking a few doses. We're not talking about a lifetime of going on this thing.
Well, that doesn't fit their agenda, of course.
But it's almost miraculous what these guys are doing. And even treating a lot of people that have long COVID, which is basically COVID symptoms that just don't go away because you haven't treated it properly. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to recommend that everyone go out to their drugstore and start buying ivermectin. But dig into this. This information is being suppressed. Again, it's the FLCCC Alliance, which stands for...
Hang on. I'm going to look that up while we're talking. FL, what is it again? FL?
CCC Alliance, also known as... Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance.
Okay, quick have a look at that. Vaccine Choice Canada, you talked to Ted a lot?
I spoke to Ted Koons, I believe.
Yeah, he's the president.
Yeah,
he's actually coming on the show next week with me. So we're going to talk about some pretty cool stuff.
So I'm hoping he can take their studies, all their hard data, the proof that they can... There's no reason for a lockdown. Because here, right here in Toronto, Canada, if I want to go buy a pair of shorts in a Costco, I can't. They blocked all the aisles. The only thing you buy at Costco right now is basically food and necessities. You can buy coffee, but you can't buy a coffee machine. They blocked the aisles. They won't sell it to you. Same thing as in Walmart. You can't buy people that had a new baby. Well, guess what? You can't buy baby clothes. You can't even buy a baby car seat for that new baby.
So that's because the virus is smart. It knows where it can go and where it can't go, correct? I mean, it's absolute insanity what we're talking about here, Ed. There's no rhyme or reason for a company to do that. None.
Have you heard?
I know what's going on.
Have you heard what they're doing out in Nova Scotia, Barry? That's off our – that's north of Vermont State, I believe it is, off the tip of Canada.
Well, I know that their Supreme Court just passed a law making it illegal to protest against any vaccine or COVID information coming forward from the government. They just passed that through the legislature. That is full-blown communism 2.0 in Nova Scotia right now. I was talking to somebody out there this morning, and they're infuriated with the government. They're making it illegal to protest against the government in this aspect. That's insanity, Ed. Should have the whole country screaming at the top of their voices. It should.
So the province, or as the Americans call it, a state of Nova Scotia, has brought down these draconian laws on the people. They've got no choice in the matter. The parliament is not even sitting. They do Skype meetings.
Right.
So physically, they're not even in the legislature buildings out there. So this is all being done behind our backs, being done in quiet. We got nothing we can say or do about it. The police are being paid to enforce these crazy laws. And I really wonder, you know, how much more of this are these people going to take?
They're going to get to a breaking point, Ed. I can see that, but that's what they want. You know, a lot of times, many, many times on our shows, we've talked about the fact that they want people to go to an armed confrontation against the government. That is the agenda, because when that happens, Mr. Trudeau will be able to bring in martial law. He'll be able to completely lock down the country. And if they ever get to that point, Ed, will we ever get it back? That's a big question. Given that kind of power to Justin Trudeau, one of the worst people in the world, it really would open up a big can of worms, wouldn't it, for him?
Yep. Well, okay, let's go down this path, too. Look at what Mr. Trudeau's father, or alleged father, did. Pierre Elliott, 1789.
Communist to the core, buddy. He was started the multicultural, started the multicultural experiment in Canada. Absolutely. If you look into Pierre's history, he is communist to the core. And his son is just carrying on the agenda.
And it was done so quietly, and it was done on the pretense of this is a good thing. Meanwhile, it was an experiment. We, the people, never voted on this.
Well, we don't have any say on anything going on in this country now anyways, Ed. We're completely silenced. We have no opposition in government. All government parties are working on the same agenda. So what chance do we have to stop any of this right now outside of electing a party? I'm not a person that would really support a political party, because all politicians seem to be full of crap. But at this point, we only have one party in Canada that is completely speaking against the narrative of all other political parties in Canada. And that, of course, is the PPC. So at this point, if we do have an election, Ed, that would be the only logical choice I could see right now for Canadians to put a stop to what's going on in this country, because it's not going to stop. If we elect the Liberals or the Conservatives or the NDPs get into power again, our country will continually fall down. There has to be a complete change of the guard. And what they're saying makes a lot of sense to me. Whether Maxine would stay with his promises after his election, that remains to be seen. But everything they're saying right now makes a lot of sense to me. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing with the PPC. I was pretty heavily involved with them in the last election cycle. I did go for their training. And all the people I spoke to, all these people that were candidates, they're not there because they want to get into the politics. They're there on principle.
Right.
And I'd say the vast majority would agree with me, did you ever think you'd be running for politics? And they'd say no. And then you ask them, well, why are you doing it? And they say, well, look around. Look what's going on. It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No choice.
How can I not?
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I mean, look at the people that are involved in the party. People like Salim Masur and Mark Friesen. And I can't remember the name of the doctor that was running in Ottawa. I can't remember his name right now. But every one of these individuals will tell you the exact same thing. They didn't get in this for politics. They're not there for the pensions. They're not there to manipulate the people. They're there because they love their country and they see the destruction that's looking them in the face. They're all in there for the same reason. That's one thing about the party that really appealed to me in the last election. I think they were really jacked around in the last election, but I think this time around, you're going to see a lot more attention being paid to what they're saying, because Canadians are really starting to feel the pinch of what's going on in their country, buddy. We're starting to see it in our face now. Can't deny what's going on.
I'm going to give you a quote here, Barry. It's not who votes that counts. It's who counts the vote that counts. Who said that?
Well, of course. Of course. And what are they using in Canada? Dominion voting machines. Well, what caused the problems down in the United States of America, Ed? Dominion voting machines. And yet our government planning on using them again. Come on, guys. We've got to put a stop to that. Whatever happened to going to the polling station, get a piece of paper, make your mark, fold it up and put it in the ballot box? Whatever happened to that, Ed?
Then have it hand counted, and within a couple hours you knew what the results were.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it would solve all these problems, but it wouldn't allow for any corruption or any manipulation. I believe that Trudeau stole the last election. Absolutely, because most people in Canada hate the guy's guts, and so they should. Go ahead.
I'm with you there on that one. I honestly do believe that the last election was also stolen.
Dominion voting machines, Ed. That's all you need to know. Go ahead.
So where do we go from here? How do we save it? Well, we need normal people on the right side of life or politics or whatever or what have you, to get involved in actually doing these hand recounts and actually auditing the election results. And I don't know if you remember the last election in Canada, there was a few close runs where you'd have 28 polling stations, and then there'd be the 29th polling station.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that would have just enough votes to throw the election in favor of the Liberal candidate. I know what happened here locally, not far from where I live, up in I believe it was Richmond Hill, or was it Thornhill? Anyways, the Liberal candidate there got booted, actually ran as an independent, and the main message was, we know we're not going to win because we're not one of the big three, but please do not vote for this Liberal candidate. The person was that held that seat was campaigning against his replacement that was shoehorned in by Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party. Mm-hmm. So he was campaigning against this person because he knew what this person stood for, the groups that they were aligned with. And the only reason he was there is to get another seat. And this position the person that got elected in that position actually just squeaked by that 29th poll. And that's reserved for mail-in ballots from people that live outside the country. Mm. How interesting, isn't that?
Imagine that. Nothing to see there, Ed. You're a conspiracy theorist.
But how do you even audit that? How do you actually see those results? Who counted those votes for that 29th
exactly.
seat?
Exactly. Well, you know that 20 states in the United States of America now have ordered forensic audits of the votes from the last election. You know that, eh? And that I believe that you're going to see a lot of poop come out of the United States of America here in the next month, eh? And that trickle-down effect, how that's going to affect Canada, I'm not sure. But I honestly believe there's going to be a bit of chaos coming forward because Americans are really going to see exactly what happened in the election, as well as the rest of the world. So hold on to your hats. That's going to be pretty interesting times coming up down there, buddy, because these audits are all going to show us exactly the same thing we saw with Mariposa County or with Arizona, that this election was outright stolen from Donald J. Trump.
Sorry, Barry, was that – I haven't heard much about Mariposa. All I know is that it was being
– 470 – the number I got was 475,000 votes were switched in Mariposa County. Steve, do you have any more information on that? Am I correct in saying that? Because that's the number I heard. Oh, Steve's not there. He's an American, so he might be a little bit more on top of it. But that's the number I heard. But regardless, the fact is that now that these audits have been ordered, that we know that all this hanky-panky that was going on, I mean, there is so much of it, it's just off the scales, that it's going to be exposed at. And what that's going to do in the United States of America, well, we know that they have lots of groups on the left ready to go to war. And we know there's lots of patriotic Americans that are ready to go to war. Could make for a very, very volatile situation. But it's going to happen. Because they are going forward with these audits. So go ahead.
Sounds like a color revolution is coming to the United States of America.
Well, what choice? I mean, if they're getting to a point, like, look at what Biden's doing to that country, man. And Americans are sitting back right now, and they're looking at their future, and they're looking at everything that's going on around them with this idiot in the White House. I mean, the guy can't even talk. I mean, it's just a joke that he stands up there and tries to even make any sense out of anything he's talking about. It's absolutely embarrassing. And this guy is supposed to be the leader of the free world. Boy, are they really, really in a big pile of poop. But I believe it's coming to an end, Ed. I really do. I believe the charade's going to come to an end. I'm hoping I'm correct, because if it doesn't stop and this guy's allowed to go for another year, even up to the midterms, the damage is going to be massive, to say the least.
Well, you think they're playing with the election results in the other houses, or?
So I think there's manipulation at all the levels. All the corruption runs so deep with the deep state. You know, we'll never know all the players involved. We'll never know how deep it is. But just look at some of the things that went on that we know about in the last election, the videos of stuff going on in election headquarters, and it's just thousands of people coming forward talking about it. It's all been brushed under the rug. I mean, all these testimonies, they just seem to have disappeared into the wind. There was so much going on with that election that, like I said, these forensic audits that are going to get done are going to expose a lot of it, and we'll just have to see how that affects America. It might be a chaotic time down there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, again, it depends on the judges and the legislative houses that they have in the states. Now, I know back in January, coming across some live feeds from, I believe it was in Michigan somewhere, where they were taking testimony from average people, and they're in front of, I think they had, these were lower level elections or elected positions where they were actually investigating and taking testimony about what was going on, and yet nothing ever happened in Michigan. Are they having a recount also, or?
I'm not sure. I can't answer yes or no to that, Ed. I've been following it quite a bit, but there's so much going on in Canada right now that is keeping me busy. But I have been looking at some of the reports this week, and the fact that they are doing forensic audits, I think that will carry over into other states as more and more results come forward. That's what I think is going to happen. I think it's all going to come to an end. Where it's going to end up, I don't know. I've never been. I've always said that any side of government is controlled. That as much as the good that Trump is doing, I still believe to this day that he's a player, that he's playing a role. That I think we're party to a much, much bigger game going on behind the scenes than we know about. So what's going to happen here in the next little while, I don't know. But I know that just the results of the election are going to be made public, and you're going to hear a lot about it in the next month, Ed, because they are doing these audits. They're not going to be able to cover up the results of all these audits. They tried really hard with Arizona to stop it, and they tried really hard in Mariposa to stop it, but they've come forward. So we'll just kind of – I'm not 100% sure exactly how it's all going to play out, but I know that things could get really crazy down there, really crazy.
Well, Barry, I've been keeping my eyes open for those election results, and I haven't seen them anywhere, so I'm surprised that you came across that number. What do you know that I don't know, or where are you getting your information from?
I've been looking at lots of information on the Internet here about it, Ed. Who big time was it to talk about? What's his name, Huckabee? Or can't pronounce his last name. I think that's his name. The information's out there. I'll go find it for you, and I'll go have a look at it. But those are the numbers I've been seeing. Roger Landry actually just wrote an article of that and posted it in the Liberty Beacon about Mariposa County. I'll go have a look at that after you talk here. But there's more to it than meets the eye, that's for sure. That, you know, it's the fact that these states have ordered a forensic audit, they wouldn't be doing that unless there was some very, very strong evidence to support it coming forward from these places that already done it. So I wish Steve was in here. Where are you, Steve? How come you're not here when I want you to talk? But he's always around, but he's just not there right now, and I don't understand it. But he'd probably be able to clarify that a little bit if he comes back on.
Maybe the CIA is handcuffing him.
Maybe they've got a gag on him, or maybe he's wearing his mask. Steve, have you got your mask on? He's actually stepped away. He's not even there right now. But what's going on with Kevin Jay? Let's change it. I wanted to hear about what's going on with him right now.
Do you want to talk about how he was arrested just over a week?
Arrested, then apparently he had a couple death threats yesterday. I haven't really followed that closely, but apparently has his life threatened. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I haven't seen the evidence yet, but it's not like him to make those kind of claims, and it doesn't actually exist.
Right.
Now, what we do know, on May 6th in Alberta, Kevin J. Johnson, for those that don't know the name, he's running to be mayor of Calgary. He was born and raised in west of Toronto, Mississauga. It's a suburb of Toronto, you might say, about 500,000 people. And he ran for mayor there twice. He came in second the last time. And again, his election results, when they're coming in over the evening, they had a whole bunch of election irregularities. There were blackouts at specific areas during the day, which is very unusual. The weather was perfect, so there's no reason for a blackout. It wasn't excessively hot, nor was it excessively cold. So you kind of wonder, okay, why are these blackouts happening on a municipal election day? Signs are missing. The voting machines that were doing the counting they were hooked up to the internet. A lot of places, they didn't, in some areas, they didn't even know where the polling stations were. Those signs were taken down, apparently. And I remember watching the results come in as the night was going on. And it literally took 6 hours to declare the incumbent the winner again. So here we are watching these results come in. And every time the results would come in, he would get exactly 13.4% of the vote. So we're talking, okay, why would that matter? Well, four or five times they raised the amount of votes that are counted. Statistically, I honestly do believe, and I do believe this at the bottom of my heart, it is impossible to always get 13.4% of the vote. The man was campaigning like a madman. He's putting signs up left, right, and center. And all night long, 13.4% of the vote was announced as his piece of the pie. I don't believe, I can't see how that's possible because the demographics change in that huge city all over the place. You'd expect some kind of deviation.
Well, look who Bonnie Crombie is, who she's involved in. And that says it all, doesn't it? People don't know who she is and her background, but if they did, they'd understand what happened with Kevin.
Yep. So anyway,
Steve, just before we go forward here, I'm just going to ask Steve a quick question about the results in Mariposa County.
Maricopa County?
Arizona. Yeah. Now, the numbers I saw, what have you heard, Steve? Because I've had three or four different numbers come at me here in the last week. So what do you know about Mariposa right now?
Well, I don't know what the truth is, but I do know that they have recounted, or they are trying to recount one or the other. And it looks like they want to try to overturn it, as well as I think Georgia does too, and
Arizona.
Well, you just said Arizona. That's Maricopa County.
That's okay. Right. Okay. Well, that's what I've been hearing too. So I'll try and get to the bottom of it. Ed, exactly. I'm sure we'll hear more and more about it. But the fact that, like I said, they've ordered recounts for 20 states right now is the number I heard. That's definitely going to stir the pot, I think, a little bit. Wouldn't you say, Steve?
I don't know about 20, but I heard a good solid like 6 or 7 maybe, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is coming from a very reliable – Roger has actually wrote an article about it. So I'll go and look at it after the show's over here again. But regardless, I think you're going to see a domino effect as the results come in from the ones that are being audited and they find all kinds of irregularities, which I believe they will. That will have a domino effect with other states too. And hopefully we'll get to the bottom of this mess.
All right, so back to me and my push to get to bring the FLCCC Alliance to the forefront. Have you looked at what these doctors are doing at all, Jerry, while we're chatting?
No, I've been looking at the chat rooms, too, at the same time, Ed. I'm going to go have a look at it right now, okay? And go ahead and tell us what you think.
So they've also uncovered, and this is not in the mainstream media, but in India, they've got provinces or states similar to what we have in Canada and the United States where the territories are broken up and you have provincial leaders or state leaders. So they had another one that was a runoff earlier this year, and I believe it was January or February in the state. And it's a guy by the name, literally his name is Stalin, that got elected. Now, what they were doing in India is they were prophylaxing with ivermectin. If someone was sick, they would prescribe ivermectin immediately. And that's why India was doing pretty good. They didn't have the crazy numbers we're seeing here in North America or the cases. And they were also treating and testing. Treating and testing has also been done in Mexico. But you don't hear that in the mainstream media. So their cases are starting to come down. And their vaccination rate with this COVID-19 or these AstraZeneca or Johnson & Johnson, whatever, it's less than 1.6%, if I'm not mistaken, in Mexico. And their cases are falling off the charts. The hospitals are not overwhelmed whatsoever. If anything, they're underperforming. And people just go around their business, you know, do what they're going to do normally. You don't see heavy mask usage. Their masks are far and few between. So what's going on? How come countries that are using ivermectin, they're doing fine? And in Mexico, you haven't seen the draconian measures that we're seeing here in Canada. So here's a country that's allegedly supposed to be poorer than ours. I don't think they're that, doing that poorly, quite frankly, because they've got better food supplies than we do. Their economy is not falling apart like ours is. Excuse me,
Barry. Hey, there's a train.
That's my phone. Sorry about that, guys.
You close the door, there's a train going through your house there, Ed.
Is it really that loud?
That's okay. I'm looking at this page right now as you talk, and I'm scrolling down and seeing some pretty interesting information. So I will bookmark it and have a good look at it after the show's over here, Ed. Thanks for sharing that. I've just posted in both the chat rooms, too, guys, so you can have a look at it.
So we got to spread the work that these guys are, these doctors are doing far and wide. And especially in the Democrat, that would be a blue state, right, where they're still locking down the citizenry?
Yep.
If they can start curing people and empty the hospitals, I don't think the hospitals are that full, but if they can actually treat them, and this they do have the cure, why bother getting the vaccine?
Well, because that doesn't make money. That doesn't – I don't think – you know, Ed, I don't think it's about the money with this vaccine at all. I think money is a byproduct of what they're doing. I think it's much deeper than that. And what we talked about earlier in the show, I think even though that sounded like it might be from outer space, I believe some of the thoughts that I ran by earlier in the show is what this vaccine is all about. That it's not about money. It's about culling the herd. It's about – the Georgia Guidestones being played out in front of our face, where they actually believe that the world's population should be 500 million to be in balance with nature. They wrote it. They wouldn't have wrote it for no reason. And this could be the mechanism that they're going to use to wipe out a lot of people. And of course, when people really start getting sick, Ed, they'll just claim it's another variant, and society will go into another major lockdown. And the same agenda that's being played out now will hit us in steroids. So,
sorry, we got off on a tangent there, Barry. So back to Kevin J. Johnson. There was an emergency order by the Alberta Health Services.
Right.
This would have been May 6th, I believe. And basically what that order came down from Alberta Health Services, they hired a lawyer up in Edmonton. He wrote up the policy. He took it to a leftist-leaning corrupt judge. And the judge approved this, and it was done with using a technique called ex parte, where the evidence and the documentation is presented in front of a judge, and the judge, if he agrees with it, he can rule from the bench. Hmm. So basically what this May 6th order was, to sum it up, is no one is allowed to protest in the province of Alberta. And that's casts a huge, well, a total net over all the people of Alberta. So we know that someone from Whistle Stop Cafe, where they had a protest, he got arrested. I forget the name of this, excuse me, Carrot was one of the owners. Now, he was also involved with United We Roll convoy that happened into rolled from Alberta across the prairies into Ontario and right into Ottawa, I believe it was February of 2018. I don't know if you remember that one, Barry.
Of course I do.
Now, the media said there was a couple of trucks. I personally counted 80 big rigs and another 30 or 40 smaller trucks around that convoy.
Right. Well, that goes to say without the media. I mean, the media, what, there was 25 or 30,000 people in Toronto there last week, and the media reported as a small gathering. They don't expose anything of truth to the Canadian people anymore. They're a joke. Go ahead.
Pure propaganda. Anyways, back to Kevin J. Johnson. So they had this emergency order done behind closed doors, draconian order, and Kevin got picked up on that. Now, it was challenged by the, I can't remember this. It's another group of lawyers that are fighting for freedom up here in Canada. And they actually had it modified to the point where only the people that are named on this order can actually be taken in under this order about protesting and organizing protests.
Yep, they got rid of the Jane Does and the John Does.
Yep. But surprisingly, after the 6th of May, now Kevin was never served this order, so how could he be knowingly be in breach of trust?
Right. Well, the same thing with Pactor Stevens. They illegally arrested him because his arrest took place after that order had been ratified or changed. So his arrest was illegal. Go ahead.
Or did that same lawyer that was working for Alberta Health Services go in front of the judge again and put his name on that emergency order?
Well, look who's mandating what the health services is actually doing is being mandated by the World Health Organization, Ed. So what does that tell us? That's direct orders from communist China. It's what's happening in Alberta, man. Go ahead.
So anyways, Kevin was picked up at Boulou's last Saturday after a protest. And he wasn't even protesting. He was campaigning.
Right.
So right now there's a little bit of a gray area of what was he doing. Was he protesting or was he campaigning? So obviously this one's going to go to court. But it's in the end it's going to be which judge are you in front of. If you're in front of a corrupt leftist judge, they're going to nail you to the cross, quite frankly. Pardon the pun, but it's pretty disgusting what's going on here in the courts in Canada. And the courts are also shut down pretty much. And whatever happens is happening over Zoom calls.
Yep.
Remotely.
Yeah, I know. Yep. I know. I see what's going on with the courts and who's controlling the court systems. They're corrupt to the core. Go ahead.
There's even videos of judges not even wearing pants, and they walk away from the Zoom call with a hot camera and mic.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty embarrassing for that judge. But we wouldn't expect anything less, would we, Ed?
It's just nuts what's going on up here.
It is. The rest of the world is looking at us and laughing right now, Ed. They are. They're wondering why Canadians can't stand up against what's going on in their government. We look at what's going on in Europe now and the size of the protests and the amount of people that are on the streets and how they are absolutely outright defying their government. And Canadians are just bending over, buddy. It's sad.
But if you look on mainstream media, Barry, all you hear is cases, 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 COVID, COVID, COVID.
That death line doesn't move.
That's all you're hearing on mainstream media, on the radio, in the papers. It's just, they're just hammering us with this information. Now, I don't watch mainstream media for that exact same reason. I sleep better at night, and I don't have to worry about it. But for the normies, why do you think they're lining up for this jab? Because all they're hearing 24/7 is a propaganda that's coming out of our MSN, which is bought and paid for by the Trudeau government.
So yeah, I make myself listen to them, Ed. I find it very difficult, but I have to be aware of what they're telling the Canadian public. So I do listen to them. It, like I said, it makes me violently ill. But really, looking at it from my perspective, it is complete bullcrap what they're doing. But like you said, this is being hammered into Canadians' heads. You cannot turn on a mainstream media outlet of any kind in Canada right now and not hear, go get your vaccine. We're going back to normal. As soon as we get the vaccine numbers up, we're going back to normal. They got the big carrot out in front of people's faces, and they're just running to the well, man. And it's sad because they're all going to get affected down the road from this. Go ahead.
So anyways, so Kevin was held in jail Saturday night, Sunday night. Monday, he got in front of a judge. He went to a remand center. And again, it was done through video court. His lawyer here in Toronto, although he did speak to him a few times, the lawyer was having a hard time even getting into the courtroom. Mm. The electronic courtroom was almost impossible. It was just by sheer luck, you know, 2 minutes before he was going in front of a judge that he actually got a link from another set of lawyers that are doing this work pro bono, representing and getting cases thrown out in Manitoba. That's where they were working on, so they didn't have time to get involved with Kevin on such short notice. But his lawyer did get the link. 2 minutes to courtroom time. He finally got in, and within the case was heard and completed within an hour and a half, and Kevin got released 8:30 that evening. So he did make his Monday night show. Then last night, they were out putting signs up, and they got, you know, he's got a lot of fans, and he got reports of people taking down his election signs.
Mm-hmm. Caught him red-handed.
It was Antifa, obviously.
Yep.
So they went and they confronted them, and then Kevin called the cops. Cops showed up, and these guys are swearing at Kevin. He actually got attacked. Barry. Lost the phone, his jacket got ripped. They had the signs. Antifa's showing the signs to the cops. They throw in the back of their pickup. Cop never charged them. So, yeah. Like, what the hell is going on in Calgary? Barry.
We know it's Nancy, it's the mayor, and Ed, you know what? Our hour is already gone, buddy. Do you believe that? It just flew by here. So, you know, before I let you go today, but we could carry on this conversation for another hour very easily, but I want to applaud you for everything that you're doing right now. People don't know what Ed's doing behind the scenes for people, but he is spending a lot of time, a lot of his effort to make a lot of this stuff happen for us. So I applaud what you're doing, Ed. I've enjoyed this conversation with you, buddy, and I'm going to have you back again in the very near future, if you'd like.
Sure.
So last words from you, Ed, before I have to let you go, bud.
If someone offers you an ice cream or lottery tickets to take a experimental vaccine, please don't. Don't laugh, Barry. It's happened here.
I know it is, and I'm laughing at the insanity of it, buddy. I'm not laughing at it. I'm laughing at the insanity. Go ahead.
And the cops won't even allow us to approach the people and actually give them informed consent. You keep us at a distance. I couldn't believe it. Anyways, Barry, thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
You too, Ed, and thanks again for coming in. Okay, well, folks, I've enjoyed the show today. I hope we've shared some good information with you in the last 3 hours. I want to thank my guests for coming in today, and, of course, for you guys coming in and listening to what was said. The show wouldn't be anything without you guys, so thanks for coming in and sharing some time with us. I'll be back next week. I've got some pretty good people lined up, and I look forward to talking to you guys then. Have a great week, and God bless you all, and bye for now.